Blog Talk Radio.
Playing Sports City Chefs from Amazon Music.
Yeah.
Back, listen, enjoy the vibe. Sip something, light it up, enjoy the ride. Cause the Sports City Chefs is on the night. In the kitchen cooking up, they on the ride.
Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs,
Chefs. Yes, Lord, we got a brand new president. What? Joe Biden, we riding, I pray you heaven sent. Word from the wise, my people stay ahead of me.
Come on,
I've been relevant, trying to survive the elements. It ain't no love in these streets, these dudes telling it. Case go from cold to hot, state evidence. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
Welcome everybody to the first annual Sports City Chefs live draftcast. I am Mr. Controversy himself, James Greenwood, and with me, as always, is my good friend and co-host, Road Rod. Rod, how are you doing today, bud?
Oh, bud. Yeah, Christmas Eve, right? Christmas Eve was last night. This is Christmas Day. As I've grown older, the draft has become like Christmas to me now. It's just, it's honestly, the off season now is getting as excited as the actual season with this draft. It's just to see the scenes in Cleveland right now. The fact that they're moving it around and it's in Cleveland and that the fans are out in their droves. The pandemic's over. Let's celebrate.
Absolutely. It is really nice to start seeing fans at the draft again. It's always one of the big points of the draft is to see the fans, the reactions, everything else. But the call-in number is 929-477-2759. If you want to come in and join us, feel free to hit that one button. That way we know that you need to, that you want to grace us with your presence. And with that said, we do have our first caller in queue, caller from the 951. I believe this is my brother, Brian, breaking news Hughes. How are you doing today, Brian?
What is up, boys? It is Christmas in the NFL, and I am absolutely excited to talk. I can imagine no better place than to jump in the kitchen with two of my besties and talk NFL football.
So it's rather appropriate that breaking news is here in the building because we had a few breaking news elements start. This is going to the beginning of the day, but we're going to go back a day. We want to save that juicy topic for when the room starts filling up. But Teddy Bridgewater, my boy, trade for a 6th-round pick to the Denver Broncos. So, Brian, I'm going to start with you first, and then we'll allow some other people to get on in. What do you think this does to the Denver Broncos as far as their draft goes? Like, for me, it seems as though this means that they're going to stay put at 9. They're not going to jump up and try to get themselves a Justin Fields or a Trey Lance outside of their draft position. They're just going to let the draft come to them. And if they have to, they're going to be just fine with Teddy Bridgewater. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, if we're talking about just solely the Teddy Bridgewater acquisition, as a totally separate entity as everything else that we've heard over the course of the last hour or two, I don't think Teddy Bridgewater is going to prevent the Broncos from potentially drafting a guy like Trey Lance or Justin Fields if they are there. you have to understand a couple things, and I am not saying in any way, shape, or form that Drew Locke is not athletic, but if you're talking about body types and molding an offense to, let's just say, a Trey Lance or a Justin Fields, I think Teddy Bridgewater is a closer emulation of that type of offense. I mean, he ran portions of that type of offense in Minnesota. He ran portions of that type of offense for the Saints. So I can understand the signing. Obviously, I don't want to break anything on your show, but I think the more intriguing thing is there's a very good chance that Denver might not even be making a pick at night.
Ooh.
Very interesting. Kind of we will go into that in just a second. But I do want to welcome in a couple of other folks here into the kitchen. Caller from the 561. Ryan, how you doing today, brother?
I'm doing quite well. How's everybody else today?
We are doing just fine. And so we are talking about the Teddy Bridgewater signing, but if you've got anything to add to that as far as Denver's concerned, we might as well bring it up now.
I agree that Denver definitely is probably going to look for a quarterback because, let's face it, Teddy Bridgewater is Teddy under troubled waters at times. So do you really want to rely on that? I don't know. I feel like you want to get him to teach somebody, like a Trey Lance, who I'm high on. That's a guy who, if he falls, my worry with Justin, and this is my concern because I also have the same type of condition, even though it's not the same condition as Justin Fields. So I have a little background on it. I worry a little bit about Justin after the epilepsy stuff came out. That's one of those things that just concerns me because, as we know, in the NFL, you can take some big-time shots. Not that you can in college, but you can take some bigger shots at the NFL level. A lot of guys that would be faster, stronger.
So, but
yeah,
let's
not forget some of these guys sometimes are trying to knock you out.
So, I'm not sure what the epilepsy would do as far as head hits, but I do want to welcome in our next caller.
It's not even just head hits. If the head rocks at all, like if the head snaps back, you could be looking at some potential troubles. That's why I think these teams are like,
but like
is he a guy who's going to grow out of epilepsy, as some people do, or is this something that's going to be around for his whole career?
So I do want to also welcome in Aaron Sirius Simmons from the 703 and all the other area codes that he represents. Sirius, how are you doing today, brother?
You know, gentlemen, it's a pleasure to be here with you guys on a special edition of the NFL Wrap, NFL show. But before I get cracking, breaking news, Hughes in the building, man. Dude, it's been so long, man. I hope you're doing well, man. Thank you, Sirius. I appreciate that, brother.
So, we might as well just skip the Teddy Bridgewater conversation because I do know exactly what Breaking News Hughes is talking about as far as the other big news that hit just earlier today. Aaron Rodgers has made a public statement that he is not going to report to the Green Bay Packers. He will either retire or he demands to be traded. one way or the other, he is not returning to the Green Bay Packers. And just recently, we heard there's a lot of rumors that there's a lot of talk that the Las Vegas Raiders as well as the Denver Broncos are the front runners. For the services of one Aaron Rodgers. And Sirius, I'm going to bring you in on this topic. What are your thoughts on the Aaron Rodgers situation in general?
You know, gentlemen, we were sitting here a year ago having this very conversation after the Green Bay Packers selected Jordan Love with the first round draft pick, and we were sitting here scratching our heads like, yo, is the writing on the wall that Aaron Rodgers' time and Green Bay is not only coming to an end, but it's coming to an end rather rapidly and even more quickly than he wanted it to be. And so he went out there last year, and we all saw the statistics. You know, he had himself an MVP season, was on the brink of, you know, competing for a Super Bowl and this, that, and the third. And, you know, now what we talked about last year is coming to fruition. I honestly believe, you know, and, you know, you're talking about Denver, you're talking about the Las Vegas Raiders. I posted a picture last year with him in the New England Patriot uniform. And it would not shock me one bit if the New England Patriots became a player in trying to get Aaron Rodgers into that building. They have so many picks. They have so many new weapons. You know, the relationship between head coach and quarterback, you know, has been forever solidified with what, you know, Bill Belichick was able to acquire with TB12. I don't think Aaron Rodgers wants to go through another rebuild. I don't think he wants to go to Denver and try to help that franchise. He's on the back end of his career. I don't think he wants to go to Las Vegas right now, you know, and deal with Gruden and his mammoth of a playbook. I honestly think, you know, if you put him in New England with that assortment of talent, with Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick, New England Patriots are immediately, and I mean immediately, a contender in the AFC. Nobody's worried about them right now because of Cam Newton. Nobody's worried about them, you know, with the rest of the, you know, name that, you know, backup quarterback. But Aaron Rodgers immediately gets the New England Patriots a seat at the table. And I would not be surprised if the time we meet next week that's where he ends up.
All right. Rodri, what is your thoughts on both the Teddy Bridgewater signing or the trade? And that's so far below the fold now that that Aaron Rodgers is in the picture. What is your thought on that whole situation?
I mean, I think you guys have the nail on the head. John Elway loves quarterbacks. John Elway knows quarterbacking, and he ain't going to be settled until he's found one. I love Teddy Bridgewater since he was at Louisville. He's probably the toughest quarterback I've ever seen. He's had more injuries and dealt with more stuff and come back than most wouldn't have, you know. And you can't help but love the guy. You can't help but want the best for him because of the person he is and how tough he is. But is he cut out for this? I don't know. It's going to take trial and error. Drew Lock got an arm. Drew Lock played some good ball last year. Teddy Bridgewater played some good football last year. Vic Fangio, he's got his work cut out, but they got to do it. With Aaron Rodgers, yeah, this goes back for me to when they traded Jordy Nelson. When they traded Jordy Nelson to the Oakland Raiders back then, you know, Aaron Rodgers didn't like it. And then you to take his best buddy away from him, and you don't draft receivers in the first round. You don't, you know, you don't help him out much, and that's all he really wants to do. He just wants help. And they not, you know, Kunst and Mark Murphy, Matt LaFleur, they got their own ideas. It's a bit of a power struggle, I think. There, even though they want to keep him, I don't think he's I think they burnt their bridges with him. To be honest, with you. He's disgruntled. He's horsed in jeopardy. You know, he's got this whole life off the field now, and you just got to wonder, you know, where's his head at, and I know how much does he want to play there. I think it could be time to move on for him.
So Brian, I want to bring this up to you because the first team that I thought of when we were when that news originally broke was the San Francisco 49ers. They've made repeated attempts to acquire Aaron Rodgers in the past. They still have significant draft capital and the number 3 overall pick, as well as a second round pick, and could probably parlay that with like a Jimmy Garoppolo and put those three pieces together for a really intriguing package. I probably wouldn't be just that, throw in some additional picks down the road, but what's your thoughts on Aaron Rodgers and specifically the potential for the San Francisco 49ers?
So there's a couple things at play here, and yes, the Niners have definitely shown interest in Aaron Rodgers in the past, and Aaron said, came out today and said that he actually had urged, being reported by multiple NFL insiders, that Aaron basically urged Green Bay to accept the package offer that San Francisco was offering him. There's two things, though, that we have to all consider here. So the first thing is the way that the contract is set up. If Aaron Rodgers is traded before June 1st, it is a massive, massive dead cap hit for the Packers. He's not going to be traded. You know what? Order me a number 4. But there is zero chance that Aaron Rodgers gets traded today. So for that reason, the Niners traded 3 picks to move up, 3 first-round picks to move up to number 3. You can't draft a quarterback or, let's just say, Kyle Pitts or whoever in the hopes of being able to work out a trade later on, drafting somebody that Green Bay may want, right? You just can't do that. So I think the Niners are 100% out. That's my opinion. I've heard multiple reports, and I'm sure you guys have the same access that I do, but I've heard multiple reports from insiders that actually are, you know, have their pulse on the Broncos, Mark Schlereth, Tom Pelissero. Multiple insiders have said that a deal is about 90% done between Denver and Green Bay. And Denver makes sense, right? Because they have a quarterback. They can wait. They don't necessarily need to know exactly where this pick is going to go right now. And I understand that the scenario is not identical, but here's the thing. San Francisco cannot afford to pass on a quarterback now. They've already told Jimmy Garoppolo, hey, you're not our quarterback in the future, and basically be left holding the bag if Green Bay trades him to the Raiders or the Broncos. And which, by the way, if I was the GM, that's exactly what I would do. I've already had my ass handed to me by San Francisco in the playoffs multiple times. There's no way I'm trading them Aaron Rodgers. Zero chance. You're never getting Aaron Rodgers. He's going to the AFC. I think we can all agree on that. The other thing that I hate to hear, and Roger, you know I respect the hell out of you, but I do got to bring this up. Everybody always brings up the fact that Aaron Rodgers has got different ventures, different things he's got going on. You know, they question his dedication. You know what? I don't question Aaron Rodgers' dedication or toughness or any of that. You know what? This team has bent over backwards the last 2 years to do everything they can to screw him. They have not given him weapons. They drafted an heir apparent when they were in a Super Bowl window, and he's just come back stronger and stronger and stronger. Every single year, he has stepped up and outperformed his contract. Because the bottom line, guys, is he is getting vastly underpaid if he is not the top one or two quarterbacks pay-wise in the entire NFL. That's just the reality. So you know what? I say kudos to Aaron. You know what? If you feel like you need to force your hand, do it. And I'm not one of those guys that, you know, covet players forcing their way out. But in this particular instance, you know what? History is a good reminder of what not only has transpired, but what will transpire. Tell me the last time Green Bay drafted a skill position player in the first round.
Yeah, exactly.
The last time that Green Bay really drafted or in free agency really went out and got Aaron Rodgers' help. Yeah, they spend money on pass rushers. Yeah, they'll get a linebacker. Yeah, they'll get a D tackle. But they don't help this offense. Aaron Rodgers is literally the engine that makes this offense work. You put an average quarterback, an Alex Smith, you know, Mitch Trubisky, and obviously I'm way over embellishing here, but I'm just saying this offense isn't even a top 20 offense. It's not the same. Aaron Rodgers, his athleticism and his prowess as a quarterback is masked so many deficiencies over the last couple years. That's the reason why you see them get blown out in the playoffs, because this team is not on the same skill level as the other teams that make it to the playoffs. And you can't mask those deficiencies as well when you go up against legitimate competition. And you know what? I don't blame him, guys. Aaron Rodgers is fed up. Tom Brady did the same thing. He said, hey, listen, you know what? I'll continue to play here. The only thing I ask you is not to franchise tag me. You know what? They didn't franchise tag him. Bill thought he could win it on his own, and we all know what happened after that.
All right. So the draft has officially started. The Jacksonville Jaguars are on the clock. I mean, there's no point talking about this pick. We all know who they're going to pick. So I am going to let Ryan in on this last piece of topic, and then we will go straight into draft focus.
Okay, so we're essentially talking about Aaron Rodgers, correct?
Yeah, correct, yep.
Right. I feel like there's a chance he does get traded somewhere during the draft. In fact, my question is, when during the draft do we possibly see the trade? Because I think it's possible. And I know people are saying it's not going to happen tonight, but I feel like it is possible.
Them eating the cap hit.
They're gonna move off him, why not move off him sooner than later?
Them eating the cap hit, if they can afford it, under their current cap situation, which I haven't looked into recently, but if they could, it would offer them a greater incentive to eat that money, if that's possible, for a higher draft payout or a higher asset payout, let's just put it that way. But the Jacksonville Jaguars are on the clock. They have about 3.5 minutes left on the clock. It's been pretty much assured since the Jaguars got the number one overall pick that they're looking at Trevor Lawrence, the quarterback from Clemson. So let's dive a little bit deeper into the Jacksonville Jaguars. They do have another pick at 25. Besides Trevor Lawrence, which we all agree should be the pick, is the pick, Lawrence is probably the best quarterback prospect in this draft class. Best quarterback prospect since probably Andrew Luck. I will go backwards on this. Ryan, I'll let you go first on this. Trevor, first of all, what are your thoughts? Trevor Lawrence probably at this point going to be a Jacksonville Jaguar. And what else do you think they need to make themselves an actual contender in the AFC?
I think you're right. I think that's an absolute guarantee. I mean, I really believe this draft starts at 3. I think a lot of people believe that. As far as what Jacksonville needs, they definitely need at least another receiver. They need some help protecting their prospect at quarterback. So you got to get some offensive line help here in the draft too, because you got to protect him. If you can't protect him, as we saw with last year in Cincinnati, if you can't protect your quarterback, no matter how high you drafted him, he's not going to be able to do anything for you. You get him hurt.
The Jacksonville Jaguars did recently franchise Cam Robinson. to solidify him at the left tackle position. So I don't think that that's a particular area of that they're going to be addressing in this draft. Maybe after the franchise expires next season, they may look into that for the 2022 draft. But there's also offensive guards, right tackles, all these other things that could be a part of that solution. Rodri, what is your thought as the pick is in?
Yeah, he's coming in, right? I think it's a great situation for him. Urban Meyer, Shad Khan has brought Urban Meyer there to change everything, you know, change the identity. And that's exactly what they've got to do. They've got to change their identity. They're a laughing stock. They need to change. Darrell Bevell and Brian Schottenheimer's there as his quarterback coach. Brian Schottenheimer's had experience with Mark Sanchez in New York and Russell Wilson. So he's a good quarterback guru. And then you've got George Warhop, and you've got some good coaches on that offense. And I think it's a great spot for him. You know, you're going somewhere where they can improve his game. And he's such a talent. Like you said, he's a generational talent. He's great man, Andrew Luck, and I think it's a perfect spot for him. And they need the identity change. I think the way they handled themselves last year, they got rid of everybody, and they deserve the number one pick. And now they get in. They've seen Indianapolis do it twice. They've seen Indianapolis do it with Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck, and now they want a bit of that. They want to get this talent, and they've got it. They made sure they were going to do it last year, and now they've got their guy. So yeah, it's great.
Okay, as the commissioner is putting in the first overall pick now, it is now official. Trevor Lawrence, quarterback out of Clemson, will be going to Duval County and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Brian, what are your thoughts on the topic at hand, the Jacksonville Jaguars in general, and now that it is official, their pick of Trevor Lawrence?
Listen, you know what? I have a hard time with this, right? I mean, Trevor Lawrence is a phenomenal, phenomenal quarterback prospect. Zach Wilson, phenomenal quarterback prospect. But here's the problem, guys. There's five guys that are more than likely going to go in the top 15. History tells us three or four of these guys are not going to pan out. And if I had to pick, and not just because they're my, you know, they're my squad, but whoever San Francisco drafts, I mean, you're talking about a playoff team. If they weren't injured last year, a team that went to the Super Bowl 2 years ago and has one of the two or three most creative minds in the game as your head coach and play caller, you feel good about that. What I don't feel good about for Trevor is I don't know if Urban Meyer's, you know, style, if it's going to translate. Remember, everybody was super excited about Nick Saban when he took over Miami. It is a hard transition going from the college game to the pros, guys. I mean, this is the same thing that Pete Carroll talked about. You no longer get six or seven first-round picks every year. You have to actually be able to build a championship squad. And let's be honest, there is a reason why Jacksonville and the New York Giants are picking first and second. Neither one of these teams are very good. They're not good offensively. They're not good on the offensive lines. And that just further adds problems. You know what? I think that Trevor Lawrence is an absolute stud. I think that Zach Wilson is an absolute stud. But the reality is, guys, Lawrence, Fields, they actually mean this may be a blessing in disguise, because if Fields goes to somewhere like, for example, New England, or let's say they go to Denver, like, that is just a much better situation. And I think as just the general media in whole, like, we often overlook the situation. It doesn't matter how talented you are, because the bottom line is Trevor Lawrence is not going to be blocking for himself. Remember, David Carr came out, and he was the number one overall pick. People were talking about him being a generational talent until he got hit about 12 times a game and became so gun-shy that he was afraid to hold the ball for more than 2 seconds. So, once again, I'm not saying that's what's going to happen to Trevor Lawrence, but I'm just putting things in perspective. I know how everybody feels about Wilson, about Lawrence, but I'm just saying one of these two guys is going to fail, and it's not going to be based on talent. It's going to be based on situation.
But I think that it's important to note on this, and then we'll go over to the New York Jets next, that there's a major difference between the times in which David Carr was coming into the league and the current situation. The gap between the pro game and the college game has actually slimmed down quite a bit. While it's a giant jump in talent, it's not necessarily a major difference in scheme. Now, does that mean that Urban Meyer is going to definitely succeed? No, but I think that if he does succeed, it's going to be off the backs of a lot of his players. But when we're talking about the offense of the Jacksonville Jaguars versus the talent of the offense of Patriots, at least as far as skill positions are concerned, it's actually a lot closer than people think.
Follow-up question, James. Follow-up question for you. How many years do you think it takes for Urban Meyer to win the division?
To win the division? Oof.
With
actually,
I got
with Trevor Lawrence.
That.
Yeah. Go ahead, Ryan. I'll let you have the floor on that while I think about this for a second.
I got an answer for that because being somebody who roots for the University of Florida and having watched Urban Meyer, I don't think Urban Meyer lasts past 3 years, so I don't think they win a division with him.
I appreciate that, Ryan.
And
here's
what
I'm looking at, boys. I'm actually
okay with that.
Number one, the Buffalo
it's...
Bills are one of the top five teams in the NFL now. I think we can all agree on that.
Sure.
Josh Allen is only getting better, and let's not sleep on Tennessee and what Vrabel has been able to do with that team. They're in a really, really tough division. I think his contract runs out before he ever sniffs the playoffs. That's just my opinion.
I think Indianapolis have got that division for the next 4 years anyway. I think
right.
It's just
that's what
the way they put. But I mean, it's going to be. I think he's going to be up to compete in 4 years. It's just, how are they going to build? I mean, what the Colts are doing is just phenomenal. I think Carson Wentz is going to work out there as well. And I think you know, Brian, it's a copycat league, right? You know, as I do, and James.
Yeah, the pick is in for the number two overall pick. We didn't really get a chance to talk about the Jets, but Zach Wilson is the overwhelming consensus, and we will be waiting for the commissioner on that. But back to the Urban Meyer thing. While we're waiting for the commissioner to get to the podium. Do I have a lot of faith in Urban Meyer as a head coach? No, but sometimes there are instances when talent can overreach a head coach. And sometimes your teams are talented. And I'm not saying on the defensive side. I think the defensive side is probably a shadow of its former self. But on the offensive side, there's a lot of good things that you can enjoy on this offense, like DJ Chark, like James Robinson. So there's a lot to initially surround him with, and there's just more picks to go to allow them to bolster that defense. But the commissioner is at the podium, and Zach Wilson is now officially a New York Football Jet. Rodri, go ahead and tell us what you think about this selection.
Joe Douglas, I think he's there now as GM, making this move. Look, Robert Saleh, new coach, new quarterback. Again, like Brian said, it's the reason they're picking where they're picking. So, you know, they've got to get better around him. And Mekhi Becton, I think, is a great, great player. I think he's going to be a great tackle. But they need more. They need more. And like the chances of these, of the five of these quarterbacks working out are not good, right? Somebody, one of them is not. And I just think it's going to be this kid. I just can't see it working out right now. 3 years' time, it's going to take 3 years, but, you know, Mike LaFleur, Rob Calabrese as his quarterback coach, Mike LaFleur as offensive coordinator, they got their work cut out, and they got to protect him. They got to protect him, and I think he's going to need, you know, Denzel Mims is great, but I think they're going to need more targets for him. It's going to be a tough ride for him early, I think. But who knows eventually, but right off the bat, it's going to be hard.
And, yeah, I mean, if we're talking about guys in bad positions, you, Brian, you asked me about how long it would take Urban Meyer to win this division. I think it's actually a lot harder for Robert Saleh and Zach Wilson to win this division because people kind ignore exactly how many people were out for the New England Patriots due to COVID. And they're getting all those players back. And then the Miami Dolphins have built themselves up to be a really good team. And the Buffalo Bills are already a really good team. So this is like I would go for the top three teams in this division. I think I would put all top three teams as better than those that their counterparts in the AFC South. What do you think about that, Brian?
I agree. I thought he said Ryan. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you're good. I'm Brian. You're Ryan. Go ahead, Ryan. Hit it.
I think Zach Wilson is probably the bust of the draft. I hope he proves me wrong, but I have a feeling that Zach Wilson is probably the bust of this particular draft.
All right.
Well, I'll take the other end of the spectrum, James. Everybody is pegging this kid to fail. I would actually say I feel more comfortable with Zach Wilson than I do Trevor Lawrence. That's just me personally, based on the fact that I think he has a better skill set for off-platform throws. I think he is a better runner or able to evade more because the reality is they're both going to be running for their lives. And I like Zach Wilson's moxie. I'm going to go the exact opposite of everybody else, and I'm going to say, you know what, if I have to bet my chips, if I have to push my chips in, right, I'm San Francisco, this was the kid I was hoping would fall. He's clearly not here, but I think this was the right selection for the Jets. Kid can do a lot of things, and I think the fact that he has an incredibly strong arm and the amount of growth that he has shown from his freshman year till now, it just seems like the sky's the limit. I understand how everybody feels because he has less competition against the top teams than, you know, a Mac Jones or a Trevor Lawrence or these guys. But once again, I look at how much has a kid progressed over his collegiate career, and I can tell you, go back and look at where Zach Wilson was 2.5 years ago. There's a reason why nobody was even talking about him being a first rounder before this year. The kid has improved immensely. He's worked very hard, and I'm willing to bet on
him. Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. All I'm saying, guys, is that, you know, none of us know how these kids are going to pan out. What is he? He's in the division with the greatest coach of all time. He's in the division with the hot Miami Dolphins team and the Buffalo Bills, who we just said were the fourth best team, you know, top five in the NFL. So, I mean, naturally, he's just going to struggle in his first year, just like Peyton Manning did, just like Troy Aikman did, you know? It'll be a learning curve. I'm not saying I'm not writing the kid off. I know I am got the right to do that. I'm not saying he's going to fail. I mean, yes, but he showed moxie at BYU. His father is great with him. His mother's a lovely person. You know, he's had a great upbringing. You know, he was protected there. We were talking about it the other night with Christensen, Barrington. I mean, he's had a great day, and he's like Joe Burrow last year. Joe Burrow was a fifth round pick going into last season, and then, you know, ends up being the number one overall pick in the draft, and was quite successful before he got injured. So I mean, I'm just saying I think he's struggled, that's all. And I think, you know, eventually, yes, he might become You know, if bad teams get stronger, the parity in the NFL is there for a reason. You know, bad teams can become good over you know, in 3 years, 2 years. So, you know, there's a good chance there. And I think he's got a head coach in Robert Saleh. That's, you know, that's going to be going to do a good job, like, you know, eventually. But it's such a tough division. There's such a high level of competition. I just think he's struggling early, but eventually, you know.
So I do want one last quick question until we get to the San Francisco 49ers with their next pick. Is anybody concerned about Zach Wilson's height? Because that was one of the big narratives coming out during his pro day, is that he came up a little bit shorter than expected, and that there's a lot of old school football guys who are always concerned when they when a quarterback hits, I believe, below 6'3", 6'2", something like that. Just a quick show of hands. Is anybody actually concerned about that, or is that much to do about nothing?
I think you mentioned it in Drew Brees. You know, I just think it's about accuracy. I don't think height really matters. He's 6'2". He's not really short. He's not, you know, I don't think it would be an issue. Of all the things he's got to worry about, I wouldn't think that's the biggest problem.
Okay.
Hey, James,
what do you think? Oh, I don't even know. I haven't.
Yeah, what up, fellas?
I thought
you were below the screen, Sirius. I didn't even see you.
I'm sitting here letting y'all talk it up. You know, I'm sitting here just chilling.
We'll let you start off here, and the when we figure out the San Francisco 49ers pick in just a second.
Oh, I already know what it is, and you're gonna be shocked.
Trey Lance is the pick.
Not Mac Jones. I think that everyone.
Putting the league on notice right now.
I like it. Well done. So here's the funny thing. Like, everybody all, you know, was talking about Matt Jones, Justin Fields, Kyle Pitts. Well, Trey Lance was projected to fall, you know, past this pick here. And I've always said, I mean, if you listen to me yesterday on the cookout, I said the draft is really going to start with the 49ers because we all understood what was going to happen with 1 and 2. And the fact that Trey Lance is now in San Fran, wow. So what's Atlanta going to do here with number 4? I mean, they have those.
Here's actually the big question. I want to start with you on this, Sirius, before we go around on Trey Lance specifically. How far do you think Mac Jones falls now?
I think he gets all the way down to Washington.
To Washington. Okay. All right.
I think he's out of Washington.
All right. So we're gonna let Brian go last because it is his squad. Rodri, your thoughts on Trey Lance and his pick to the 49ers?
Well, you know, I'm happy for Brian. I think this is the friends I got with San Francisco fans. This puts the Aaron Rodgers trade to bed there. So that ain't going to happen. So, you know, but it's like Sirius just said, I do think the draft had just started. This is the only pick that we was really wondering what was going to happen. Look, John Lynch is probably my favorite player of all time. I love him. I think he's got such a good head and his shoulders. And the job he's done as a general manager so far, you know, they haven't – him and Kyle Shanahan, both of them, Mike Shanahan's boy, Kyle, they haven't done anything wrong so far in San Francisco as far as I'm concerned. They lead them in the right direction. So, you know, I got every reason to put trust in them, and I think this is a good pick. But, you know, like we just said, these quarterbacks, you know, Jake Locker, when he was coming out, I had so much, you know, I thought he was going to be great. You know, it's just, It's such a crap shot. Such a big crap shot. It's a roulette. It's a game of roulette, isn't it? They've got to protect him. They've got the pieces there. They've got the receivers. They've got the tight end. They love running the ball. It's a perfect system for the quarterback. And I think Trey Lance is just landed in a great spot.
So, and I honestly think that Brian was right in a statement he said earlier when he said that the quarterback that goes to San Francisco is going to have a huge advantage. It's very similar to when Patrick Mahomes went to Andy Reid. I still believe this, in spite of how awesome Patrick Mahomes is, that I still believe that he would not be half as successful as he is now if he wasn't coached up by Andy Reid during his early years as a Kansas City Chiefs. Ryan, your thoughts on Trey Lance before we go to Mr. Hughes?
Sorry,
Ryan. It's going to happen off show, brother. Go ahead.
Brian, I'm
going to start calling Brian Mr. Hughes just to prevent this
breaking
from happening
news.
Again. Yeah, breaking
yes,
news. But yeah, Ryan. Go ahead on Trey Lance.
I like Trey Lance. I think he's a great prospect because we were talking about Zach Wilson and his size earlier. It's not his size that worries me. It's those crunch time moments when he comes up short that worries me with him. But as far as Trey Lance, he's a great prospect, and you can do wonders with this kid. This kid throws an amazing deep ball.
All right, Mr. Hughes, Mr. Breaking News, your team just drafted their quarterback. What do you think?
Listen, can we just start out by talking about the highlight where Trey Lance just literally ran over the safety? I mean, come on, man.
Seen the same thing. I knew that's
we
what
talked
that
about this yesterday,
from.
And I told you guys, I'm higher on Mac Jones. I'm higher on Mac Jones than probably anybody else here, and that wasn't because I'm a Niners fan. I'm still higher on him than you guys are. But I also told you guys, and it wasn't even close. You can include Wilson. You can include Lawrence. You can include whoever you want. It's not even close. The highest upside in this draft is Lawrence. And like I said, it's not even close. Remember, this kid is 20 years old. He is just scratching the surface on what he can do. He's got power. He's got toughness. And the thing that I'm really intrigued about, everybody has seen – what Kyle Shanahan's offense can look like with a Matt Ryan type, you know, leading the team, or a Jimmy Garoppolo type. But when you add an element like a Trey Lance and his running ability, the RPO, if you don't think that they're going to incorporate some RPO stuff like what they do in Baltimore, especially the way he loves to run the ball, you're crazy. This offense just got a lot more dynamic. This kid may not play a ton year one, but I promise you they will have some packages for him, and I'm super pumped for this pick. You know what? If you're going to move up in the draft and give up all that capital, you can't be afraid to take your shot, and this is the shot of shots. He's the most raw of all the prospects. He's probably the least NFL-ready right now, but the ceiling is enormous. So I am absolutely elated as a Niner fan. And as I told you earlier, and you alluded to, James, you can just go ahead and mark Trey Lance down as a superstar, because with that supporting cast and that coach and that GM and the contracts that they have and the way that they're going to surround him, Shanahan's going to set him up for success. We already seen what Shanahan did with guys like Hoyer and McMullins and these other guys and made them look serviceable. I think he's going to do wonders for this kid.
All right, so the commissioner is heading up to the podium with the Atlanta Falcons pick.
Nice pick.
You must be, like, seconds ahead of me.
Listen,
listen 10 seconds ahead of me.
I've got the inside too, boys.
Kyle Pitts is the selection for the Atlanta Falcons.
Breaking in
I don't watch it on TV. I actually watch it directly through the live stream, so I get it a few seconds earlier.
There you go.
So,
well, you're breaking news, though, Brian. This is where you get that nickname from, because you're 10 minutes ahead of everybody else.
Rodri, Kyle Pitts to the Atlanta Falcons. Tight end seems to be one of those positions that literally everybody needs, with the exception of like 5 or 6 teams. And Atlanta's no different. There was a lot of talk that they were going to start blowing this up, but it looks like with this pick that they're actually going to try to push for that division and deeper playoff hopes. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. David Gone is there as offensive coordinator, the old quarterback, David Gone, remember? And Arthur Smith as a head coach. And, I think they got Julio Jones that is up on a trade block. I know it's after the 1st of June. He'll probably be traded because of the salary cap hit. That's what they can save. So it's a new era. This kid is a phenomenal athlete. You don't go in the top. You don't get picked in the top 5 as a tight end unless you've got something really special. And you know we saw it at Florida. He's a great kid. He fits modern day tight end. You know he's a George Kittle type. With tremendous upside and a great player, you know, taking over from Tony Gonzalez since Tony Gonzalez and Austin Hooper they lost to Cleveland, so it's a needed piece of the puzzle for them, but they got a long way to go again, you know, they pick him where they are because of where they are, and you know Matt Ryan they got questions at quarterback after next season probably, so you know they're back, they got their backs against the wall and they got to start. Start bringing in these talented kids. But, it's a good pick.
So, Brian, I'll have you go next. Or Mr. Hughes, I'll have you go next, I should say. Kyle Pitts, freakishly athletic. Definitely one of the better receiving tight ends that we've seen in a decade. What are your thoughts on Kyle Pitts to the Falcons?
I'm going to try and keep this extremely brief, James, but I do need to hit one key point. Kyle Pitts is the best player in the draft right now, right? Not based on talent, projection, anything like that. Coming out right now, he is the best player in the draft, and I don't think it's that close. It's hard to fault the Falcons for taking the best player in the draft at 4. My only thought is this. Your quarterback is 35 years old. How often do you plan on picking in the top 5 in a quarterback class that has really been one for the ages? You could have got a guy like Justin Fields. You could have got a Mac Jones. You could have got one of these guys and basically set up the heir apparent. Listen, Pitts is going to be phenomenal. Don't get me wrong. Phenomenal. But we've seen plenty of teams. San Francisco is a perfect example that won 6 games last year, and they have a Pro Bowl tight end. So once again, the tight end is extremely important, but I think the quarterback was more important here. We'll see how things play out, though.
All right.
Let me say this real quick, and I'll get your question. My thing is this. So with them selecting Kyle Pitts here, you got to understand that the quarterback who threw him the ball is going to be drafted day 2, day 3 anyway. You know what I'm saying? You also got a couple other guys that are not named Fields or whatever that are going to be able to come out. So I don't hate the move here. And so I'd much rather have seen them go get a quarterback or go get, you know, some secondary help or something like that. I don't hate the move here, but the Atlanta Falcons are really tipping their hands saying, okay, later on down the road, we're going to go try to get a quarterback, you know, Kyle Trask, or we're going to go try to get, you know, Kellen Mond or something like that, you know, to kind of start the rebuild.
Or they could. I mean, if Mac Jones does fall further than, let's just say, 16, 17, they could be in position to set up a couple of picks to move that up. Ryan, you're on for Kyle Pitts to Atlanta.
I like the pick if they want to not blow it up right now and maybe blow it up next year if it doesn't
Correct.
Work. But I would have gone quarterback because I feel like right now you're going to get the best haul for Matt Ryan because of age and all that. You will get less of a haul the more years you keep him. So as much as I like it, I would have rather have seen them go quarterback.
All right. So,
hey, real quick, James,
it's going to be
interesting to see what the Bengals do here because Ja'Marr Chase, Joe Burrow's basically sidekick at LSU is still available, but I think we all agree that Jermaine Sewell is probably the right pick here.
They need to get
Sewell immediately. Phillip, I said this yesterday. If they go get Ja'Marr Chase, I'm going to be one happy dude because that means Joe Burrow is still going to be a sitting duck.
Yeah, they're like
TJ Watt and company.
So we do have another caller in queue, the Mad Villain himself, Barry Jordan. Welcome to the draft. How you doing today?
Villain, what's up, boys? Hughes, what's up, baby? I ain't heard from you in a minute. Darius, Ryan, Roddy, everybody, what's up? What's up? What's up?
what's up,
my man? How you doing? I am feeling like a villain,
man.
Obviously. But listen,
who let this guy? Who let this guy in the building? Who let him in here?
I got my own key, brother. I get in everywhere. Listen, I agree with you, Hughes. Pitts is the best player in the draft. When the Falcons restructured Matt Ryan's deal in March, that signaled that they were going to keep him and keep him for a little while, that they weren't going to go quarterback, and that if Pitts was there, which everybody figured he was going to be, that was the guy. Now, is that the right move? Who knows? We'll see. Maybe they're banking on getting 5 years out of Ryan, who hasn't really diminished that much, and saying, hey, let's roll the dice, but let's get a quarterback down the line. We don't have to turn the page on him. But I think they're going to stick with him. They're going all in. I would have traded out of that pick, get more draft picks to get the defensive players that they need, but I guess they didn't feel that there were that many great, great impact defensive guys or whatever. So I think they just wanted to score more points and outscore the defense. So,
that's a really big point. That's a really, really big point, Barry. That when we talk about the needs of the Atlanta Falcons, you could say that they have a need at literally every single defensive position. Like, they have been bottom 10 in the league in passing yards per pass defense. They are bottom 10 in the league opposing QB rating. They're bottom 10 in the league opposing completions percentage. Bottom 10 in the league in sacks. But the Bengals are going to be picking soon.
Brian Hughes' reaction right now is startling me.
No, I don't want you to jump off a cliff. I just said that because, I don't want to ruin it for you, but they passed on the offensive tackle. I told you that chemistry,
okay, so Ja'Marr,
Steeler fan, beware.
Okay.
Beware.
I am excited about that. I am very, very excited about that because, once again, Joe Burrow is going to be a sitting duck. So
we said it last night.
Chase, for those who don't know, Ja'Marr Chase is the pick for the Cincinnati Bengals. They went with a wide receiver over the offensive tackle. There's some decent wide receivers too, but there are some decent wide receivers that will fall to them in round two. They won't be Penei Sewell, but they will have the opportunity. But the biggest problem, at least according to Pro Football Focus, was not necessarily at the offensive tackle positions to begin with. That the offensive guards were kind of the biggest problem when we're talking about what was going on in Cincinnati when Joe Burrow got blown up every single play. So they could be focusing on worrying more about the interior offensive line than the exterior offensive line. And that would make a lot of sense based off the statistics. We'll go.
Yeah, but
right
Elite is
the
Elite.
Villain.
Mr. Controversy, Elite is Elite. Don't matter where it comes from. You got to fix that line. You know what I mean? Like, they could have got Slater or whoever. Fix the line. You got a franchise quarterback. I understand you want to get the weapons to go with them, but if, like Sirius said, if you can't throw from your back and you can't throw from the sideline when you're you know getting carted off, you know what I mean. So I don't listen. Jamar Chase is the best receiver in my opinion in this draft, but that's not the pick that they should have made. That's just my opinion.
Oh,
all right, Sirius, I'll go to you right next on this. What are your thoughts on Jamar Chase? To the
you know, honestly, man, here's the deal. Like, so I've said this, you know, a couple of times. Like, the Steeler fan in me right now is ecstatic because, you know, you have to protect your investment in Joe Burrow. I mean, this is a guy who, again, we've all said it, you know, ended his rookie campaign, you know, on the sideline hurt, you know what I'm saying? And we don't even know as we currently sit here, you know, if he's going to, you know, be 100% as we open up training camps and OTAs and things of that nature because, you know, he tore that knee all the way up. So you really have to protect your investment. I really would have liked to him, you know, see them get an offensive lineman of some kind here. Maybe it's not Sewell, but maybe it's an offensive lineman. So it shocks me that they didn't do that. But again, I understand the chemistry with Chase and Burrow, and they want to try to recreate that at the next level. They did draft Higgins last year, so their receiving core is setting up to be, you know, something that's some kind of a problem. But at the end of the day, man, you got to protect you got to protect the pretty boy, and they failed to do that as you currently sit here right now.
Mr. Hughes, what is your thoughts on Jamar Chase as Miami gets their pick in?
Well, I like it actually on a couple different levels. I hear what everybody's saying, and you know I'm a trenches guy, right? You build from the inside out, from the center out. You build from the lines, and you build outward. You know, you don't start with the safety and then build forward or vice versa. My only thought is that there is not a lot of opportunities to give your rookie quarterback a weapon that he is familiar with, that there's already chemistry. And with this, you know, with the world being what it is and so many guys opting out of, you know, voluntary OTAs and everything being on Zoom, I'm just telling you guys, once again, I'm not saying you guys are wrong. But you know what, having this kind of comfort, you know, everybody talks about the tight end being a safety blanket. This could be that safety blanket for Burrow. I hear what you're saying with Higgins. You know, they have the big, lean wide receiver. But this could be that safety blanket for him to be able to get the ball out. We don't know how they're going to utilize him. Do they utilize him in the slot? Do they utilize him as a move guy? But I think it's big. And it's also big for the Dolphins. They moved from 3 back to 12, back up to 6, and I think they did that with the mindset that they would absolutely get either Pitts or they would get Chase. That's my thought process. And I think whoever they take here, and the pick's coming in right now, but whoever they take right here, I don't think that this is who they were hoping to get at 6. So it'll be interesting to see which direction do they go. Do they go with the 166-pound dynamic duo that Rodri loves in Smith, the wide receiver from Alabama? Do they just say, screw it, we're going to take the best player on the board and go with the offensive tackle? It's going to be interesting to see which way they go. It's going to shape the draft.
All right, Rodri, while we wait for the commissioner to go up, brief thoughts on Jamar Chase.
Yeah, I love Jamar. I mean, these three receivers, Jalen Waddle, Devonta Smith, and Jamar Chase. I got Devonta Smith a bit ahead of the both of them. But look, it's giving Joe Burrow something he's familiar with, and it could happen again right here with Tua. You know, he could get Jalen Waddle or Devonta Smith, like Brian just said, familiar faces. We'll see what happens now in a second. Another pick come in.
It is not one of the two guys I said, by the way.
Waddle, really? Waddle?
There you go.
I think that's the right pick. I honestly think that's the right pick.
I don't.
Yeah, I think
serious,
really
like
don't.
I said, I've got serious question marks. I know Rodri, I know you love him, but I got serious question marks about a 166-pound guy being able to be an outside wide receiver, a legitimate vertical threat. I know he's got skills. I agree with whoever it was that just said it. I think he is the right pick if you're looking for an actual weapon.
Jalen Waddle.
Here's why I disagree with that, Hughes. Okay, if Waddle had played last year and wasn't hurt twice, I would get your point. But you got a guy in Devontae Smith who has shown the ability to play A1 ball. Not to mention, now again, Waddle played with Tua Tagovailoa as well, but more recently, Tua Tagovailoa had a better chemistry. We're just talking about chemistry with Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. He had better chemistry with Devontae Smith than he did with Jalen Waddle.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we've all played this game before. You know, coming back from leg injuries and no piece of cake. You know what I'm saying? I think honestly, and again, the Lions right now are in the prime position to either go get an offensive lineman.
If they don't take Sewell, man, I'm going to be like, same old Lions. Same old Lions.
I honestly think they're going to go after Devontae Smith because that's kind of what they do. You know what I'm saying? I got CP on speed,
they
y'all,
need the
right now.
Ty Scream from Connecticut. If they take, like, you know how the Lions do, they'd be like, oh, you know what, let's take
Micah Parsons.
Let's trade out of the pick. We don't need this pick.
Well, the pick's already in, actually. Here we go, boys.
Here's the deal. Yep. And before the pick comes in, I think Waddle complements Parker better than Smith would. And I think out of the slot is where you're going to have Waddle be the most effective. Down the field, I don't think anybody in the draft is as explosive in the open field as Waddle. That's why I think
I disagree
with the line. Who do you think is better?
I you know what, his own teammate. I'm worried about the size, Barry. But flip on the tape.
We all said that
Smith.
About Tariq Hill, Hughes, and look at him.
Listen,
you know what I mean? Like,
no, I understand, man. But there's a big difference between being 5'10 and 180 and being 5'8, 166. I mean, come on, man. 166? He's gonna get the thunder laid on him in the NFL. I mean, think about that, the hits that we see.
They gotta catch him first.
He's played
you can't hit what you can't catch.
You gotta catch him first.
But listen, as a Steelers fan, you should know better than anybody. How many times have we seen some dude crossing the middle and somebody literally just earshot a wide receiver or a linebacker, a little shot at the Cincinnati Bengals, but earshot somebody, and that's a wrap. I'm saying I've seen this kid. This kid is and for his size, because of his vertical, he's got one of the most ridiculous catch radiuses. I've watched him go up against 6'1" corners and make contested catches. And once again, I love Smith out of slot. The only concern I have, and I understand that it's fictitious because we haven't seen it manifest on the field, but once again, boys, we're talking about a guy, a man, that is 166 pounds. That is a very, very slight guy. I mean, think about the NFL landscape and how many concussions we see in the NFL on a daily with guys that are twice that size.
Well, see, I don't think he's going to stay that small forever, though, Hughes. I got to be fair. I got to be fair because I think he's going to get a little bigger. Nobody in the open field is going to be able to compete with in this draft. Like, he's that guy in the open field. He makes guys miss. In the slot, he's going to be a problem. I think the size is an issue. I think he can get bigger. I think he complements the offense better. And let's be real. He was a Heisman candidate before he got hurt. I mean, Smith wasn't even on the radar until Waddle got hurt. Waddle was that guy at Alabama, and he was the clear number one. So
If you're talking about yards per reception and all the flashy stats, listen, Waddle has that. But if you're talking about hey, listen, I need to complete a 5-yard slant and I need this guy to take it 50, I'd rather it be Smith. I've watched him do that.
Yeah, but that's not what you're going to ask Waddle to do. That's not what you're going to ask him
to
do.
No, and I understand that, but you're talking about a compliment to Parker. Parker is not a work over the middle of the field kind of guy. He's more of a stretch the field, down the seam, that kind of thing. So I hear what you're saying.
They got a good tight end that can do that too. They're going to both be used similarly.
I just think the biggest thing with Smith is, listen, the biggest thing for me with Smith, boys, is playing in the slot, you're gonna get hammered eventually, and he's too small, in my opinion, to play on the outside consistently and beat press man. I know Rodri's brought up some facts as far as him being able to beat press man, but I'm just saying, I just see him as more of a slot guy, and I have a hard time drafting a slot guy in the top 10. I actually see Smith probably falling outside the top 10.
That very well may happen, but personally,
what?
I also like Smith. I also like Smith better than Waddle.
James, you're gonna be really happy.
It's not. What's that?
You're gonna be real excited. They finally made a good decision.
Yeah, just in time for me to walk out the door. Right.
he's not a Lions fan anymore.
Nope.
Oh, I forgot. You know what? You're absolutely right. Yeah. I forgot. He's a
New York.
New York fan.
He's an Eagles fan. Good job.
But this is actually
James
a really
left the
good
fan base
pick.
And they started drafting better.
Right. So we do have a caller back in queue. Caller from the 561. What's your name, and what do you think about the Detroit Lions pick?
I'm not sure they went the right way, but, you know, if they really feel this is the guy to protect their quarterback, maybe that's the way to go, but they really needed some wide receiver help, especially after getting rid of the wide receivers they had.
But this is a really deep wide receiver class. This is a really, really deep wide receiver class. Like when you talk, you can start looking at guys in round 2 and round 3 that in other draft classes would have probably been first and second round picks. So I'm not too concerned right now about where they go at the wide receiver position, because the value is going to be there for them in round 2. Or they can trade back into round 1 if we see a bit of a run at the end of the first round. But Bateman Moore, Rondale Moore, and Elijah Moore, just for reference, those are going to be the guys that are going to be falling to where the Lions are going to be in round 2. So
absolutely. I think Terrence Marshall Jr. would be a great fit. Terrence Marshall from LSU, I think he would be a nice fit, and I think he'll be there in the second round. That's another receiver.
I agree with you completely, Colin. The other thing you have to be considerate of is the fact that Jared Goff is now your quarterback, not Matt Stafford. So Jared Goff really can't throw the ball to wide receivers very well, so you might as well not waste the pick on that.
Ultimate shade. Not only like dragging across in a bootleg. No, listen, this is the best lineman in the draft. One of the better ones that I've seen in a while. I think it's the right pick. It may not be the sexy pick. It may not get the hype. But this is the right pick. I said it last night on the cookout. Dallas didn't make the sexy pick 4 out of 5 years. They built one of the best offensive linemen until the line started to kind of fall apart with injuries. It's not sexy. It doesn't get headlines. I bet you'll get your quarterback to put numbers up and have that offensive running game going. So I think it's the right pick.
You don't think Lions fans are cringing right now?
They're always cringing.
They shouldn't be.
Look at, they got the wrong color blue on. They're not wearing Giants blue. They got that other blue.
Rodri, I know you haven't had a lot to a lot of opportunity to talk recently. So what do you think about Sewell to the Detroit Lions?
No, it's just good to hear everybody enjoying themselves and enjoying the draft. You know, it's just good to be on, and I'm enjoying myself. Guys. Don't worry about me. Hey, look, we got plenty of time to talk. We got plenty of time to talk about it. But, you know, Dan, this is a Dan Campbell pick for me. Dan Campbell had to make a statement with his first pick. And this is the type of guy he's trying to turn the Detroit Lions into a tough, hard-nosed, mauling offensive line that's going to look after Jared Goff, you know, and look at that. This is their coaching, right? They had offensive coaches. They got Mark Brunell coaching quarterbacks. They got Antoine Randall-El coaching wide receivers. They got Hank Fraley coaching the offensive line. So, you know, Anthony Lynn, offensive coordinator. Their players, Aaron Glenn, defensive coordinator. Former players, you know, it's going to be a player's mentality in our locker room. And I'm excited. I'm excited for Detroit. I'm excited for the fans. And I'm looking forward to seeing him play. This kid is awesome. He's an absolute monster. And I think it's a great pick to get Dan Campbell started.
And the draft just got interesting.
Yes, for sure.
Oh wow!
This is where I think the draft will pick up at number 8.
Oh, the pick is in.
Go ahead, Aaron.
The pick is in.
Oh, it's in, all right.
Wow. Yeah, so, you know,
the silence is eerie.
These teams, the top 10 teams, the reason they picked it where they are. They need change. I don't see a reason why Chase, Waddle, and Devontae Smith can't be really successful just because of how offenses are today. You know, we see what Kansas City Chiefs do. They move receivers around. You know, you're not just an X or Y these days or a Z. You know, you can move around and you can go into the slot. You can line up outside the arch marks. You know, it's so much more they can do these days with the rules the way they are, the bump and run. So it's, you know, I don't worry about Devontae Smith. Like I said, the word wiry comes to mind for me. I mean, he's just stronger than he looks. You know, he's just bigger than he looks. And I know he hasn't played. You know, I know he hasn't played it down in the NFL yet. None of these kids have. So I just think it's wrong that we should just, you know, say they're going to be good or bad at the moment. Let's wait and see on a lot of it. But interesting.
Wow.
All right. So the pick is in for the Carolina Panthers, and the commissioner is heading to the podium now as we speak.
That's insane, dude. It's nobody that any of you would even think of. I'm just telling you right now.
It's Carolina. J.C. Horn, I like him. I like it.
No.
I'm actually also
none of the usual suspects as far as everybody that's been associated with Carolina. So we got two quarterbacks now that are dropping, boys.
I told y'all Matt Jones is falling all the way to Washington.
They might too.
I think they're all gone by 15.
Do you guys think New England need to move up
Denver, or do you think
they stay put?
So this pick is going to tell us exactly where we're at with the situation involving Aaron Rodgers, because if the Broncos have both quarterbacks in their lap, they have Justin Fields, they have Mac Jones, whichever one you happen to like, they're both there for the Denver Broncos at 9. So if they pass on a quarterback, it means that in all likelihood, they are going to see a situation where the Aaron Rodgers pick becomes a lot more likely. But as far as J.C. Horn, Barry, your thoughts on J.C. Horn to the Panthers?
Yeah, I mean, Ryan brought this up last night, and Sirius and TP brought it up too. I mean, I didn't think he was going to be the first corner off the board, but I guess he just had a really good workout. He really impressed, and he's had a really good season out there in South Carolina. So I think cornerback was a need that's
you know, the Panthers really had to address. They had a pick of the litter with Surtain and J.C. Horn, and they went with J.C. Horn, not a wrong pick. So I thought that they would have had the tackle Swindell fall to them. That would have been their pick, but since they I think they went best available in their mind, and they went with the cornerback Horn. So it's not a bad pick. You could do a lot worse with this kid. So listen, it's a good move. It's a smart move, and you know, I think you're right, and I think, you know, I think Rodri had a good question. It will now the Patriots have to move up to get the quarterback that they need. It all, and I think it kind of ties into what you said, controversy. If the Broncos pass on the quarterback, they can stay put. If they pick the quarterback, I think the Patriots got to move up.
Mm-hmm. But there's going to be one left over anyway. So even after Denver selects one, I mean, and would it be completely out of place to say that the New York Giants or the Philadelphia Eagles take a quarterback?
No.
I mean, Daniel Jones has failed to impress, and the only person in Philly is a guy who was a third-round pick, showed promise, but is – if these guys are like the quarterbacks that we're saying they are, stops them.
James, here's what I think. The Giants aren't going to draft a quarterback, but I wouldn't be surprised if they trade out of that pick. Somebody leapfrogs the Patriots and picks the quarterback ahead of them. That's why the Patriots need to stay on the phone, because I can easily see the Giants or the Eagles trading out of that pick, getting more picks, and somebody like the Bears moving up to get Fields.
There's too many teams out there, boys, that need quarterbacks. I mean, there's even reports earlier today that teams like the New Orleans Saints were contacting everybody inside the top 15, basically seeing what it would take to move up if, you know, a certain quarterback fell. And I totally agree. I think whenever a quarterback comes off the board, whether it's here, 11, whatever, you're going to see the other quarterback come off the board immediately after. Because the teams that still need a quarterback, they're going to do what they need to do in order to trade up to secure that last guy. I don't think there's any way that either of these guys drop outside the top 15, but that's just my opinion. This is a quarterback needy league, and if you are even semi-talented, we've already seen quarterbacks get elevated based off of need more so than just raw skill and talent.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And Fields was a top three player in the draft before this, you know, before the Super Bowl. So to have him at this level, at like the 15 range where Hughes is saying, if you don't trade up to get that kid, then you don't need a quarterback.
No, it's wild. It is wild. I would never have thought it, Barry. I would never have thought we'd see him drop out of the top 10. And what is it like? What is it that happens at the end of a college football season that, you know, just drops a kid this much? You know, like even top three all through last season. Is it the epilepsy issues? Is it the fact, you know, that he didn't make an effort to get to know his teammates when he moved from Georgia to Ohio State? There was questions of that, his personality. I don't know what it is, you know, but he's. Part of maturing as well. Somebody's
got to
take a chance on him.
I'm curious if the Broncos will have the gall, right? If Elway will have the gall to actually go for a quarterback. Just think about this, boys. Since Elway's been the quarterback in the first two rounds, Brock Osweiler, Paxton Lynch, Drew Lock. Is he going to pull the trigger again on a quarterback with that resume? I mean, I know you got to keep firing until you get your guy, but I'm just saying, like, this team is good and there is a lot of players. It's going to be interesting because if the quarterback is not selected here at 9, I absolutely agree with what Barry said. 11, 12, even 10 becomes real enticing for a trade-up.
Yeah,
and I don't think the Patriots can wait. I don't think they can afford to wait for a quarterback to fall to them. They have to be aggressive. I don't think Dallas is going to trade out. Dallas is – they have to take Surtain now. They have to take
If they trade out of that pick, Surtain has to be the next pick.
Absolutely, absolutely. So it's going to – let's see what happens.
The pick is in for the Denver Broncos, but just to piggyback off of what Barry said, the Cowboys have to start working on defense. Like, they put all the eggs into the offensive basket that there's no room for that.
Don't rule out the linebacker either. I'm just saying Lee's retired, and I know they like Bosch, but once again, he's been often injured. And you get a middle linebacker like that guy, we all know it completely changes your defense. And if you don't believe me, ask Sirius how much different the Steelers D looked once they were able to get their centerpiece back in there. It completely changes the dynamic. So I understand what everybody said, but I wouldn't be completely shocked if the pick ends up being the linebacker either, because I think the value actually fits if they don't want a quarterback.
I really think Parsons is a mid-round pick. I don't see him top 10. I don't know. But, listen, he is probably one of the better defensive players. That's not a corner in this draft. So there's no other edge guys or anything that really kind of holds up to you. That's his.
Here's a funny thing. I see Michael Parsons going to the Giants if they don't go to the Eagles.
And that would be a fun. Really need to go receiver after getting Kenny Golladay.
Surtain is off the board. Go ahead, Denver. Go ahead, Denver. Well done, Broncos. All right, I'll see you, LA.
So the real question is how much does Dallas like the linebacker or potentially Farley, or do they become the trade down? Because trust me, teams are going to start becoming more and more interested in trading the further down these dudes fall.
Yeah.
And I have to say, sorry, James. I just want to throw this in. I have to give flowers to John Elway for screwing the Cowboys. Thank you so much.
So that's really the big thing, though, for right now is, this is like prime ability to trade down for the Dallas Cowboys because they were looking for a corner. Both top rate corners are gone now. And the last like blue chip kind of corner, Caleb Farley, had multiple reports of back issues that's going to plummet him down boards. So if they can make that trade.
What about Elijah Moore?
What about Samuel Jr.? What do you think about him, controversy?
Not so far. Yeah, another good player, but Elijah Moore as well. Both of them, you know.
Elijah Moore is a wide receiver.
Sorry, Elijah Molden, I'm sorry. Molden.
Okay, Elijah Molden. I'll start with Molden first because Molden definitely strikes me more as an elite slot corner than a top here outside corner. And the big issue with Elijah Molden is his size and his speed. He's about 5'9", and he's 5'9", and ran like a 4.6, so he doesn't have that straight line speed to cover one of these faster outside guys one-on-one. Now Asante Samuel, I'm sorry, I thought someone was trying to cut in. He is a lot more interesting, but I don't think he's on the same level as a J.C. Horn or a Patrick Surtain. I think he's like that next level down. Maybe even a Greg Newsome might be of interest, probably over an Asante Samuel.
Another option.
So that there are corners available, but I think that all those corners will also be available in another 10 picks. So if they have that opportunity to trade down, and even if they trade it below market value, I think that the Dallas Cowboys have that opportunity to trade down without any serious consequences if they were married to the idea of a corner. But as was said,
Dallas has done as well, guys. Just quickly, Dallas have. They bought Keanu Nealon from Atlanta, the Atlanta safety, and they moved him to linebacker. So they're playing him at linebacker this year with Van den Bosch and and the middle and Jalen. So it's like, you know, are they is Parsons Okumuru an option? You know, I don't know if they're happy with those three linebackers.
Because of the way the Dallas Cowboys play defense, though, I think that Koromoa is probably a stronger fit than Micah Parsons, just because of the fact. They play it in coverage. The Koromoa play more in coverage than like in a 3-4 where it's much more of an attack oriented. But Ryan, we haven't heard from you in a hot minute.
Do you think Koromoa is a reach at 10?
So, yes. I actually have a good question because you got Devontae Smith still standing, right?
Yep.
So,
by the way, the pick has been traded.
Like at this point, is it a good idea for the? Is it almost a guarantee the Giants go with him?
The Eagles went up for Smith.
Here go.
Unless the
Eagles are going to start moving up, they're taking Smith. They have to take.
Just sorry, Deshaun Jackson 2.0.
There you go.
Absolutely.
Perfect example.
Sorry, Ryan.
Finally, do something smart.
Well done, Philly. I like this move for Philly.
Sorry, Ryan. You're saying something? Go ahead.
There's definitely a chance Philly takes him, but if Philly passes on him, which probably not, but if Philly does, isn't it a guarantee the Giants pick him up right after?
I wouldn't say so. Like I said, when Barry made that comment, they already signed Kenny Golladay to a big contract. They already have Darius Slayton. They I think they're set at wide receiver right now.
Yeah,
okay.
You know what?
I just want to quickly tell you guys this.
Let me ask you, Ryan. Yeah. If the Eagles take Smith, like I think they should, the Giants have two picks that they should make: Parsons, Slater, or trade out. Which one would you do? Because I'm a Giants fan. I know what I want to do. What do you do?
I would probably go Parsons because he's really good for the linebacking core. And even though we have a good defense, you can't add too much to a good defense. You can always add and get better.
Okay. I mean, listen, I think the need on defense for the Giants is edge. I think the kid from Michigan City is a reach. So I'm going with Slater. I think Slater's the guy. They need help up in the middle. He's the best guard in this draft. That's the smart pick. If they trade out,
it could also
be
like Elijah Vera Tucker, who could also kick into guard. But
sure. So I like Slater out of Northwestern.
I like it too. I just really quickly want to interject here because I think this is interesting. So. Mm-hmm. Philly is on the clock right now at 10. Dallas traded out, but just so you guys are aware, Philly still has their pick at 12. So we could be talking about some serious future draft capital. It looks like Philly's going to be making two picks here in the top 12.
So Dallas, what's the haul that they got if they didn't flip-flop?
Hasn't shown up yet. I'm just looking at the draft board roll through here, and it still shows Philly. And usually –
The one I'm looking at shows them flip-flopping the picks and a third. So the 12,
okay.
The 12 and third go to Dallas as what I'm seeing right now.
Okay. Interesting.
Yes.
I wanted to ask the Giants fans. You mentioned Slater, and I like Slater quite a bit, but I'm just curious. So do you guys feel like you need interior offensive line help or exterior? Because I personally like Darisaw better as a better fit than Slater for you guys. But, Barry, I heard you keep mentioning guard. Like, do you think
they have a need at guard? I think they have a need at guard. I think Hernandez kind of had a up-and-down season, but the right guard was a swinging door. Like, they had guys kind of in and out of there that really didn't stick as much. So I think if you want to get the right piece, Slater's a better guard, I think, than Hernandez. You put Hernandez on the right side, you put Slater on the left side, And then now that interior is in, and you got it. Listen, you just opted in to Barkley for the fifth year. If you don't get him offensive line help, then you're wasting money. So I think they have to go offensive line, and I think the best. I like Tucker, but I think the bailable is Slater.
Okay.
Yeah, don't forget they get Nate Solder back as well from injury, so they got Thomas and Solder. So I think Giants pretty good. Hernandez, Zach Fulton is there. He's come over. Shane Lemieux is a good talent. Shane Lemieux out of Oregon, teammate of Justin Herbert. I think he can play a bit. So Giants have done, and then Ryan Anderson bringing him in from the Redskins. They've done a good job this offseason. I'd be very very excited if I'm a Giants fan. Matt Pert can play.
Eagles need weapons on the offensive outside. Smith is there. If they didn't trade up to get this kid, I don't know what they were doing.
No, I mean,
yeah, this is what makes sense. And they paid a premium for it. They gave up a third round pick too, which for two spots, round pick is a little pricey. But at the same time,
I think they were afraid the Giants would take him. Afraid if Smith fell to the Giants that they'd take him.
That's exactly what it was. Exactly what it was.
Well, we're about to find out, Brian.
Are they kicking it?
2.0, gentlemen. They messed up on the name and scared the hell out of me there for a second. It is Devontae Smith.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's Devontae Smith. Okay,
good job. All right.
They had Jared Smith. I was like, who the hell is that?
Who the hell is that? That's his cousin?
I was like, long snapper. Some poor schlub sitting at home and going, whoa, I got drafted?
Leave it up to the commit. Like we're trying not to boo him tonight, and he's just trying to get booed.
but Devonta Smith is a great pick. I think a lot
fantastic
of people are afraid of press corners against Devonta Smith, but he's been going against that his entire career. So the size, the only reason why the size is of any concern, in my opinion, is durability concerns, not because you think he's going to get bullied on the line.
All I'm going to say about that, gentleman, is watch the highlight package and tell me how many times you see a guy right up on him and get his hands on him at the line of scrimmage. You're not going to see it very often. Like, it just, when you see his highlight plays, that's not the part of his game you're going to see. But once again, like I said, you'll be hard-pressed to find a guy in this draft that is better on yak and better on contested catches. I mean, this guy is an animal.
Yeah, look at his record as well.
We're talking about college corners that don't play press coverage. A lot of these corners are playing, down in the box, playing zone coverage, cover two.
But he's playing up against J.C.
So.
Horn and Patrick. He practiced against Patrick Surtain, but he's played against J.C. Horn. He played against Caleb Farley. He's played against
the top
corners in this draft and many other drafts.
But James in college.
But the coverage is
a lot
different.
A lot of these guys, though, also don't travel with the best wide receiver like they do in the pros. So, for example, if J.C. Horn is a LCB, he's not gonna line up on the right side just because that's where the best weapon is. So that's part of it too, right? Like, yes, you play these guys. I'm not saying they didn't have snaps directly against each other, but if you look at this highlight package, at least 50% of these plays were from the slot. So just keep that in mind. I'm not degrading or downplaying the pick at all. It was a fantastic pick. And we have another trade, gentlemen.
The Chicago Bears
coming in.
They finally did something right. Oh my goodness!
The Bears. Everybody told me that the Bears weren't going to be allowed to trade because Ryan Pace was going to be out after this year. He must not have got the memo.
So where is the trade? I can't even find it.
Chicago
is now picking up number 11.
The Chicago Bears traded with the Giants.
Eleven. So they're going up to get Justin Fields here.
That is the guy that they need to get, Brittley needed, Justin Fields.
Hey, you know what?
Listen,
this this squad, like, just for what it's worth, I know a lot of people like to bag on the Bears, but, dude, this squad is, like, legitimately a good quarterback away from being a legit team.
Yeah.
They went 8-8 last year.
Absolutely.
With Mitch Trubisky and Nick Foles. Like, this is a legitimate team.
This was a team in the playoffs last year, and they, you know, like, at the end, they were a good team until the quarterback position really failed them. Now you're getting a quarterback that you can put in there. You got Robinson back. The Giants made the right move. There was nobody at 11 that they felt that they could get. They could sit back a little bit, still get the guy that they want, probably defense, and get more draft picks. This is a smart move by the Giants. This is the right move by the Bears.
Yeah, and really, they probably got a second-round pick out of this, too. Like, I don't know what the exact trade was, but I'm willing to bet that the Giants got a second-round pick to drop down 10 spots. An additional first-round pick. So they got the 20th overall pick, the 2022 first-round pick, a fifth-round pick this year, and a 2022 fourth-round pick. So they got two picks next year on top of two picks this year.
Boys, here's the real question. If you're Ryan Pace and you just mortgage the future and you know legitimately you only have 1 year to prove your worth. Now, yes, you have Andy Dalton. Are you going up for Fields or are you going up for the more quote-unquote
NFL-ready
quarterback in Mac Jones?
And also, Bry, let's remember what they've done in the past. They missed out on a Sean Watson and a Patrick Mahomes to take a Mitch Trubisky.
Yep.
So they're gonna be working next year if this pick doesn't work out.
You're not trading all that for Mac Jones. I'm sorry.
You're not trading all that for Mac Jones. Mac Jones is going 15th in New England. I'm convinced of that now.
Absolutely. Unless New England feels they have to move up.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I still think Mac Jones falls past New England and goes to Washington.
Say that again.
I still think Matt Jones ends up in Washington.
I don't think so. I honestly don't know. I have a hard time
believing that the New England Patriots spent all that money in free agency on two tight ends, wide receivers, to have Cam Newton run it back and do what he did last year again.
Well, you know what? I think they think he can run it back as healthy, but I think to your point, you spent a lot of money on free agency. It's cheaper to draft a quarterback than to trade for one.
That kind of money when you're going to have a quarterback on a league minimum.
Exactly. James' favorite contract, the league minimum.
Damn right. the rookie contract.
Is it a guy in next year's quarterback class that you think, you know, they
so how many
missing
think
out on
this? Quarterback? Hurry up, because it's coming in right now. I'm looking at it.
I think it's a quarterback. It's got to be a
quarterback.
Are
you sure? Raji, ask your question after the pick. I definitely want to get into that, too.
Oh, man. Somebody's going to be disappointed. Who's a Bears fan?
Let's get a hold of Mark Mosley.
I don't know.
Slater, the Northwestern kid, is it?
Wow. I was not expecting that.
Hold on. I was not expecting that.
Wow.
You're 30 seconds in front of the rest.
This is the worst part when the pick's in for us and not for you guys.
Yeah, all I'm hearing is the wows. I mean, like.
All right, you know what? I'll say, that's what we expected.
You could pause your feeds if you wanted for 20 seconds. And then.
He said pause your feeds for 20 seconds. Why are you funny?
We're gonna pause for station identification.
It's a modern technology, a beautiful thing, isn't it?
All right, I can't mess with you guys too much, but still I'm a little shocked.
I don't understand how you're shocked, though. That's
I'm
the funny
a little
thing.
Shocked.
I don't understand
shocked,
how you're shocked.
They didn't mess it up, guys. They didn't mess it up.
They didn't mess it up. Justin Fields, come on now.
Oh,
I don't know how you guys are shocked.
Listen, I was trying to get James to be like, what, they draft a fucking punter? Is this the Raiders?
I mean, so it's the Bears, so I was so ready for them to just mess this up completely. I'm not going to lie. I was like, oh, okay, they're going to take like Kellen Mond or something, you know?
Hey, just for what it's worth, just for the listeners out there, guys, I just really quickly want to say this. I talk about extensively how much the situation, how important that is to these young guys. And once again, not taking anything away from Lawrence or Wilson, both great, but you're talking about a situation where Fields is going to a playoff caliber team and he has a coach in Nagy that was the offensive coordinator for the Chiefs that runs an offense very similar to what they did in Ohio. Like, I think that this is the perfect matchup. If he is going to succeed, this is the perfect opportunity for him to do so.
They finally did it. After all these years, after the long, like, they had a list of quarterbacks since Jim McMahon that is about as long as the list of Cleveland Browns failed quarterbacks, and they finally did it. I feel like if Aaron Rodgers leaves the division, they have the best quarterback in division.
I totally agree with Hughes. You look at the quarterbacks that have gotten drafted so far. Out of all the four teams, the best situation to go to is Chicago. It ain't Jacksonville. It ain't New York.
San Francisco.
And it ain't. I mean, San Francisco is right up there too, but I think Chicago is for Fields is the best situation for him because he can come in there and play right away. He don't have to wait behind Jimmy G. So I think it's the best fit.
This is really interesting to me.
Now watch, I'm telling you boys right now, it's not even on my screen yet. Within the next two picks, you are going to see a trade up for a quarterback. And because they despise New England, it's not going to be New England, and Bill Belichick is once again going to be left sitting there wondering what if with Cam Newton as his quarterback.
But, Ryan, you're about to jump in on something. Go ahead.
I was going to say this is a very interesting pick to me because I know a lot of fans of the Chicago Bears, and they've said for a long time this is a franchise who does not want to pick quarterback of color, so this is a very interesting pick.
Well, let me tell you, Ryan.
They believe that they passed on quarterbacks because of that.
Well, let me just tell you, Ryan, I'm not sure if you will find a more corn-fed white guy than myself. There is not a fan in the NFL that will not ingratiate themselves and love this kid if the Bears are winning. The bottom line is the NFL quarterback position is the best job in the NFL when you're winning, and it's the worst job in the NFL when you're losing. This kid is supremely talented. Chicago is negative because let's keep it real, man. They've had 51 different quarterbacks in the modern era. They have worse QB luck than Cleveland, and I didn't even know if that was possible. So they're just assuming that they are going to get another Mitchell Trubisky. I think this kid is different. We'll see, though.
Right.
Yeah, Ryan, if that's true, 51 years of crappy quarterbacks keeping it the way they have with a quote-unquote non-black quarterback ain't been working. So
I'm just saying, I don't care if the dude was green with yellow polka dots.
Right. No, I'm saying
a lot of eye right in the middle of his forehead.
I'm not saying
I think
band-aid.
I said it in another show, and I got laughs. The best quarterback the Bears have had was what's his face,
McMahon.
No, Mitchell Trubisky was better than McMahon.
Was it the Bear?
By the numbers, yes.
Oh, come on, man. We're not going to play this game. Listen. Mitchell Trubisky is right up there with Russell Wilson as one of the biggest flops ever. I mean, this dude didn't even make it through his first NFL contract, and they had already replaced him.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Jay Cutler is probably their most prolific passer.
You put me on that 85 Bears team at quarterback, and I'm going to win with all of that defense.
Yeah, but you wouldn't look nearly as cool as Jim McMahon. I'm just saying.
No way. How could I possibly? I mean, I've got to be drinking.
Rodri, nobody pulls off a sweatband like McMahon does.
Oh, he's a legend. That's a legend.
All right, boys. Dallas did not trade their pick at 12. The pick is in. So it looks like 13.
They better get Slater. They better get Slater.
I wonder.
And
Parsons is there.
The commissioner's high-fiving.
Is Jerry Jones on his boat? Is he on his boat?
I think
probably.
He's in the building.
Yeah, that boat was legendary last year.
Isn't it just great, though, to see a bit of normality back? Like, you know, not taking this for granted. Like, it's a crowd of people and a commissioner hugging people. It's like
oh, there you
go. There was times last year I didn't think we'd see this again, to be honest with you.
I agree.
And pick number 12, the Dallas Cowboys select.
Dot, dot, dot. We're waiting the 20 seconds.
Yeah.
Listen, I don't want to ruin the enthusiasm for you guys.
It is the guy I said. One new show.
You guys have it up yet?
Yeah,
nope, not yet.
Yeah, makes sense. I got it.
Yeah,
no, I
got it. It's Parsons.
Micah Parsons is the I don't know. I like Micah Parsons as a player. He's a good player, but I think Cormo would have been a better fit. I consider them one in one A for overall linebackers, but I think Cormo would have been a better fit than Micah Parsons. That's just my opinion. But we will see, and it's not like it's not going to be a vast improvement anyway.
I think as a Giants fan, that them getting this pick scares me.
I kind of see that. I think the need was there with Sean Lean finally retiring. But I don't see him as a game changer yet. Like, I see him, he's linebacker U at Penn State, he played very well. No question about it. But I don't know. Is he like a game changer at the 11, 12 mm-hmm. pick? I don't know.
I think so.
I don't know. We'll see. I could be wrong.
Well, remember one thing. Most Dallas Giants games come down to what? 3 points.
Yeah.
So he could be in that situation, a 3-point game, a game changer.
Yep. I'll tell you guys, I did the draft show with Rodri and James, and I feel completely different about this guy than you do, and that's okay, right? Because everybody has, you know, kind of a different take on guys. But like I told them, when I watched him play, he reminds me of Patrick Willis when he was coming out from Ole Miss. There's certain things that like you just can't teach, right? Like they always talk about those unteachable traits. And for a linebacker, it's instincts. Everybody talked about how slow Luke Kuechly was coming out, but the thing was, you don't have to be physically the fastest guy if you're mentally processing the information quickly. Parsons dissects information at a ridiculous rate, and he's more athletic, honestly, than Kuechly was. I think he's a game changer, honestly. I think this is a slam dunk pick, and I think that like 5 years from now, we're going to be talking about him being a perennial Pro Bowler. I think he's going to be that good.
Yeah,
I do need to interrupt here for just a quick second. We do have 5 minutes left of the show, or at least until the live streaming portion of the show. We will be going for an extra hour in the overtime section. So anybody who is listening in who wants to listen to the rest of the show, you will have to call in at 929-477-2759. And sorry for that, but I just wanted to get that out. Go ahead, whoever was talking.
No, I just wanted to say I think he's a fit for that defense because of the loss of the retirement of Sean Lee and everything Hugh said. I do agree with you. I just don't see him as a super game changer yet. But to get that kid to trade back, get that kid and get draft capital, that's a slam dunk. Yeah. I think that's a win. So
well,
I totally
okay,
agree.
So here's the
Barry, real quickly, and I'll give it to you seriously. The other thing you got to think about, look at, you guys are Giants fans, so you already know this. The thing that has been Dallas's Achilles heel over the course of the last couple of years is their defense, no question. And by the way, they can't stop anybody on the ground. Vandenbosch has been hurt. Lee has been hurt. They need somebody to anchor this defense. There is not a defensive tackle that is worth a top 10 pick. I think that this is the right selection. I think, yes, the back end needs some work, but this guy is absolutely going to be a game changer and is going to help solidify that run game defense right off the bat. Go ahead, Sirius.
No, what I was going to say, man, I mean, as a resident Penn State fan here in the kitchen, you know, this is a guy, you know, that literally is a Ryan Shazier type coming out of Penn State. You know what I'm saying? This is a guy who is fast to the ball. His instincts really lead him and take him to where the football is. He's a sure tackler. And you put him in a situation where he plays downhill. You know what I'm saying? Xander Esch is going to be there. The Dallas Cowboys have a decent front four, a decent front seven, excuse me. So, I mean, the Steeler blood, I mean, the Steeler blood that hates everything with that star is upset right now because this was one hell of a pick for the Dallas Cowboys, which, you know, again, I'm not sure why the Giants want to select him. But once again, that's one hell of a pick for the Dallas Cowboys.
I think what it shows you guys is that, like Barry and Ryan were saying, to me what this tells me is, for sure what New York is targeting is interior offensive line play. You don't make this move unless you have two or three guys on your board that you feel comfortable with. The fact that they moved down as far as they did tells me they weren't targeting Parsons here, you know. So you know, one team's loss is another team's gain. So we'll see what they pick at 20. You know, the Bears obviously jumped up for the QB, and it allowed a division rival to get, you know, in my opinion, a superstar guy. But it just goes to show you that the emphasis for the Giants is definitely, to me, it seems like it's definitely on improving that offensive line and probably more specifically the interior offensive line. And I say kudos to them. You might as well get the value you can. There's no sense in taking a guy that's going to be a guard in the top 10 if he's not a Quentin Nelson. And I don't think there's a guy like that in this draft. So pick him at 20, get phenomenal value, and pick up an extra first-round pick. That's the way. Kudos to them.
Yeah, I agree.
Question.
I think so. I think Sewell has got a chance to be that good, but I think, like, easy top 10. And you know, let's look at next. Like Barry, like I was saying earlier about next year's quarterbacks. I know we're coming up to New England, guys, but like, is Mac Jones going to go to New England? Yeah. Or serious? What about Pittsburgh? Can they draft? Can they move up and draft Mac Jones?
So
we're not doing that. We are not, and I emphasize, we are not drafting a quarterback in the first round.
I wish that evil on you, Ricky Bobby. I do wish that.
Hey, listen. So, yeah, exactly.
Slam in your throat,
Sirius,
for that one.
Sirius, don't play. We all know that your team likes large, unorthodox white guys that don't move well at quarterback.
There you go. But no, listen, to Hughes's point, I think offensive line is where the Giants will probably go, but at 20, I wouldn't downgrade Payne. I think if they get Payne at 20, that's better value and getting more. I think that's a way to go too. But they're definitely looking on either side of the line to shore up. But listen, guys, I appreciate you guys having me on. Love you guys doing a great job. I'll check you guys later, man. I'm out. Have a good evening.
All right, have a good one, Barry. I mean, at this point, the pick has to be like a Rashawn Slater or Elijah Vera Tucker here, right? Like, that's pretty much where we've got to be here for the San Diego Chargers at 13.
I think they have to go offensive tackle, and I personally like Darisaw better, but I just because I feel more comfortable with him actually panning out at tackle. But the guys you mentioned, listen, they're both phenomenal guys. I just have like a certain look, like we've talked about before, for my offensive tackles. Love me some Elijah Vera Tucker. As you know, I'm a USC guy, but 33-inch arms do kind of scare me if I'm drafting in the top 15. I want the guy that kind of checks all the boxes. And for me, that guy is Darisaw. He checks all the boxes.
Yeah, I could also see Darisaw being the pick here too. Like he's like a unit tasker. Like Slater's kind of a guy who can play all the offensive line positions. That versatility sometimes is very nice. But I will agree with you that that Darisaw is the guy who's strictly a tackle. I'm sure theoretically he could move in, but that's not where he's going to be best fit. Whereas, like I said, Slater, I would call Slater my offensive tackle too. I don't even consider Vera Tucker really a tackle for what it's worth, but I'm sure somebody does.
Well, there's your pick.
Either way, you're going to look after Justin Herbert, I think, guys. You got to protect your franchise. Like Cincinnati should have. I think I'm going to come back and like Cincinnati.
Well, I'm glad we did all that conversating about it because it was Rashawn Slater, boys.
Good. I'm just going to let you take to announce the picks because you're 20 seconds ahead, and I just don't want to 20 seconds of dead air time. But, yeah, Rashawn Slater, I think it's the right pick. I think that he will be just fine at the offensive tackle position. But even if he doesn't, he'll be perfectly fine at those other positions as well.
Minnesota, I can almost guarantee you boys is going to trade. You know what? Anybody who wants a quarterback now, there's really only one left. I hear what Sirius is saying, but listen, you're New England. You got one more pick. Even if you're New England and you feel like, hey, you got to trade up one spot, or you're Pittsburgh, which I know Sirius hates, or you're the Saints, any of these teams that are looking for a future guy, you got to remember, it's not just about how good do you think this guy is, but when are you going to be in a position to get yourself a top-tier quarterback again if you are a Saint, if you are a New England, if you are one of these teams? So, you know, I think you're going to see somebody probably trade up here to get a quarterback, and I just want to throw that out there because it does look like Minnesota is going to use most of their time. They're probably fielding calls.
Okay. I think that's a bad call. And just to say, guys, like I said in our previous show, you see what happened with Josh Rosen at 10. You can trade this pick next year if it doesn't pan out. You know what I mean? It's a quarterback-driven league, like we've mentioned, like we were, and we know. It's about getting that guy. And if you could steal somebody at 15, New England have done such a good job in free agency. They brought so many good old faces back and new faces. I think they can afford to take a jump on a Mac Jones here.
I don't know that you have to do that if you're the Patriots. I think you can wait till your actual pick and try and get somebody like Kyle Trask.
Well, I mean, they picked the next after this, so that's what I meant. But, yeah, you might be right.
Yeah. If they feel like Kyle Trask and Mac Jones are basically the same guy, Ryan, totally get what you're saying. But if they say, hey, you know what, Mac Jones got a top 20 grade and Kyle Trask is our next quarterback and he has a top 50 grade, you know what, it's worth it to go up the one slot in order to secure the guy. But I also feel like if that was the case, they probably would not have waited this long after Fields already went. I think they're probably pretty content with just waiting till their pick at this point.
Yeah, that's how I feel. Like, one pick, and Minnesota's not taking a quarterback, so.
Although it would be interesting, because if you think about it, with the way that, oh, by the way, boys, trade alert, guess who is now on the clock? Minnesota is no longer on the clock. It is the New York Jets. Not sure
the
why.
The New York Jets?
Not going quarterback, but the Jets are on the clock at 14.
It's probably
maybe
a lineman.
Will just to prevent New England from getting him, so they'll just draft two quarterbacks in the first round.
Come on now.
Obviously, that's a joke.
James, that's literally a Detroit Lions move. You know what? I don't think the Jets will do that.
It's either Quitney Pay, it's Koromoa, Quitney Pay, or Viva Tucker.
Actually, you know what?
It's gotta be
Hold
one
on a minute. I forgot about what Sirius said. I take that back. James, your new favorite team is the Jets. That's what they're going to do.
Oh, okay. Sweet. They could be moving up for like a Jalen Phillips though. Like I could see them moving up for like a Jalen Phillips or
if New England
so maybe Robert Sala's guy in it, you know, process it makes sense.
If New England doesn't take a quarterback, where would they have went? Why would the Jets jump up in front of New England here in order to ensure they got their guy?
That's one side of the coin, bro. The other side, that's not that Slater's gone. Who else? You know, is Vita Tucker the only guy they seem worthy of a top 20 pick? I don't know. You know, yeah, but it's a good point.
That's actually an excellent point, Rodri. This could be a spot where you see either Eric Tucker or Marisaw go, because the Jets could absolutely use offensive line help.
So, okay.
Because they go running back there, because remember, they really don't have a sort of running back of note to speak of. You know, maybe they go up and get Travis Etienne. That way he can get paired with, you know, his quarterback from college and Trevor Lawrence, not Trevor Lawrence, but he can go up there.
All
right, boys. The pick
so,
is
but
in
they did,
the
they
Jets.
did yeah. sign Tevin Coleman in the offseason. I mean, that's not a reason to avoid that, but making a trade up for a running back seems little off to me though, because
so
running back's not really
a
first round
FYI.
Thing anyway.
So just a quick FYI, in the last 8 draft picks, 2022, 2012 to 2018. The Jets have drafted 8 guys. They've cut 2 and traded 6. They do not have one first-round guy on their roster between 2012 and 2018.
Mm.
That is a good stat.
That's wild. I mean, Robert Sala, big pick for him. Who's going to be the first running back off the board, guys? You think? Sirius just mentioned Travis Etienne.
I like Najee.
I really like
Javon.
I know
Sirius likes Travis, but I like Najee. I you know, not no disrespect to Travis. I think Najee is just a better, more complete back. You know, as far as the three downs and although maybe not asked to do it a ton. I think he's the better blocker too. In the few times that I've seen it, I think Travis Etienne. I think, to me at least, he seems like more of a zone guy, right? Like if he went to San Francisco, I think he would be a stud. He is definitely the, you know, the one cut and go type of guy. Where I think Najee is probably more your traditional type guy. That's just my opinion.
I agree, but I like Javonte Williams as well. Maybe in front of both of them. I just love the kid. I thought he was outstanding last year, but you know, just he passes that eyeball test as well, and you know his hands are underrated. We'll see, but I think the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to draft one of them, either Najee Harris just fits as a Steeler, doesn't he? I think perfect for him.
Yes. now you're speaking my language, my man.
Listen, from all the intel that I have, I hear that the Steelers are really looking at the kickers very closely this year. Don't be surprised if they take a kicker in the first round.
Imagine if third round picks go the way of the Minnesota Vikings to for the Jets to move up.
All right, he's walking up to the podium, gentlemen. We within the next 15 seconds here, we should know who the Jets traded up for.
It's not. I know there's the Atlantic Ocean is separate, but it's not 20 seconds. I think Marcus May is a franchise player.
So the pick is in for the New York Jets. Offensive line.
Interesting.
Or...
Interesting. Very, very interesting.
So who do you got? Just because I don't see it yet, and I don't want to wait for the commissioner.
Yeah, just keep going. Like he's talking. I don't know why he's not just announcing the pick. But just keep – oh, here we go. Here we go. He actually is announcing it. The New York Jets select – sorry, just paused. Oh, man, this is horrible. Brought to you by Sports City Chefs.
Right.
And AOL.com Internet.
Yeah, there's some bad. There was a comment earlier. Oh, we were talking there.
Elijah,
right, sorry, got to refresh. Got to refresh that stream, boys. Sorry about that.
Elijah Vera Tucker, USC offensive guard, has an opportunity to play tackle.
He could play all four spots. Yeah.
He could theoretically play all four spots.
Yeah, offensive lineman.
Yeah.
A good value pick.
Yeah.
And somebody who they obviously saw as a top 15 pick, as well as, you know, maybe Slate. Perhaps they thought they...
The New York... Okay, here he goes. Sorry. Keep it rolling. He's talking to the guy on the side.
It looks like a Elijah Vera Tucker, according to what I'm looking at.
Yeah, Elijah Vera Tucker is the pick.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I love you.
So Vera Tucker, is a guy who I've got slide to play guard, but has been talked about as an offensive tackle. Decent mobility, has a good bit of power, as you would expect from an offensive guard that's selected this high. But don't make any mistake, this guy is being considered an offensive tackle to be picked in the first round in general. The pick is in. Mac Jones is going to be a New England Patriot. That's
that's a foregone conclusion, I guess.
Well,
who knows with Belichick? Is his dog picking the picks this year? It's just dog last year.
Oh, no. Here's my question.
Hey, oh, my God. Mm-hmm. You guys lied to me, and I am literally just – I literally fell on the ground.
Was it a light closer?
They legitimately just flashed up on the screen Mac Jones, and then it just went off. Legitimately just said Mac Jones. What the hell? If that happens, I legitimately almost just fell on the floor right now.
It's probably Elijah Molden or safety, perhaps if I'm more.
Oh,
right.
My God.
Cisco. Probably somebody who we had going in the fifth round. No one better than a chat.
Good Lord, that scared the hell out of me.
Did it really flash back?
Trying to think of
who
else.
The funny part
was
James said that they were trading up to do that. They were going to block New England. I was like, yeah, right. They're not going to take two first-round quarterbacks. New England's pick is actually in two. So I really don't know what went on with the Jets picks, boys. My screen glitched, so you're going to have to tell me.
It was Vera Tucker. Vera Tucker was the Jets pick.
Oh, wow. Okay.
We
took Trey Lance.
All right, let's see.
Yeah.
Trey Lance got picked up by the who's Trey Lance? Oh, yeah, 49ers.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got picked up by the – we just call them the winners now. The winners.
He's only 20, right? But I mean, he hasn't thrown over 400 passes.
Yeah, he's actually just a fun fact, Rodri, and I'm sure you probably already know this because I know you do your research like me. He's the fifth youngest quarterback ever selected in the NFL draft in the first round.
Wow. That's just wild. Like you're saying this, well, I mean, he could just be scratching the surface on something special. Like,
all right, gentlemen, Mac Jones was pick.
There it is, Patriots, Mac Jones, baby.
Wow.
Wow.
I mean, like, yeah.
All right.
That makes too much sense for it not to happen, to be completely honest.
Listen, there's people right now in the Steel City that are crying that they didn't get the opportunity to get Mac Jones.
Mac
you
Jones,
have no idea how much I'm crying right now. I'm running around my house right now, kissing my sleeping baby. You know what I'm saying? Kissing the wife on the forehead, looking for cuddles because I'm a distraught Steeler fan.
You go.
All I'm saying, serious. All I'm saying is, you know what? Your wife's team ain't gonna be a pushover no more with having Smith on the squad. You got something to sweat about now.
Luckily for us, we only see them four times, once every 4 years, and we smack them in the face with fascists, so we ain't going to see them again until four more years.
Yep.
By that time,
I know I'm feeling very disappointed that whomever my team is or whoever they are going to be did not expect a Dad Bod Jones. But
listen, your team is the Jets. You got an offense.
No, they're
guard,
not.
And you got a QB.
I already disavowed any factory of sadness teams. That is definitely what the Jets and the Lions are. So I can't pick either one of them. Or the Browns, for that matter. They are also a factory of sadness team.
I mean,
but Mac Jones,
Ryan.
Likely the last quarterback of the first round. My
so
big concern
Ryan
when it comes to
this. Let's get Ryan's take because he said he didn't think they'd go with Mac. How shocked are you that the Patriots took Mac Jones?
I don't know that I'm shocked. I'm a little shocked that people rank him higher than they do the kid out of Florida because I feel like the kid out of Florida is much better at the quarterback position.
Hmm.
Yeah, I mean, there's an argument. His accuracy is, isn't it? I think Josh McDaniels obviously knows, you know, let's pick him because of that.
Right.
You don't get picked off 15 picks unless you're accurate.
Right.
But what a run on quarterback. And who knows, Preston Sequel, Trask going out in the next few picks. I think James called it the other day. I think you had six quarterbacks going in the first round, James, didn't you?
Yeah, I think during our mock draft we ended up with that, yeah. I could be wrong, though. Not sure. But I definitely picked the over on 5.5.
I can actually see that, guys, because the fifth-year option, you know what I mean, trying to lock up that quarterback. So if you've got a guy that, like, let's just say you rate as the 50th best player that maybe you're going to take at the beginning of round two, you might as well take him at the end of round one so you get that fifth-year option on him.
Yeah, I agree with that. So for Mac Jones, the biggest scary first of all, I think that the New England Patriots offense is the best offensive system for Mac Jones. The thing that scares me the most about Mac Jones, if we were talking about generally as a prospect, was his problems throwing outside the box. His 10, 15-year-old outs flew a little flat. Not flat, but kind of ducked it a little bit. He didn't have the power to hit those longer throws, but when he throws in between the tackles, he has an amazing completion percentage on those throws. And otherwise, he's throwing to the short side of the field when he's going deeper than that. So I think there are areas in the field that Mac Jones is not proficient at throwing, which scares me for him as a prospect. Because once you permanently take those pieces of the field away based off of his arm strength, it allows defenses to key on those other seven, eight pieces of the field or sectors of the field or however you want to call it. But in New England's offense, there are a lot of crossing patterns. There's a lot of shorter passes. There's most of the things go in the middle. So Mac Jones to New England is a much better fit than Mac Jones to anywhere else.
Yeah, and he's got Hunter Henry there now as well, a tight end. He's a great player. I love Hunter Henry. I think he's going to be great for him. And you know, for me guys, right, the knock on Mac Jones is you look at the players he've had around him in college. Coaches must be thinking, you know, he had Jalen Waddle, Jerry Jeudy, Henry Ruggs, and Devontae Smith. As well. You know, he's had it all.
That's the guy I wanted. If we weren't gonna get a running back, if we weren't gonna get a running back in the first round, that's the guy I wanted. You pair that dude right there. I'm hell of a pickup
with
for Arizona, but you pair him. Yes, you pair that dude right there with the guy with Simmons they drafted last, Isaiah Simmons, and.
Yeah.
Arizona Cardinals did some work. Like, I wanted that dude if we were going to get running back, but wow, what a pickup
Zaven Collins, I think, is – so my best linebacker available is still Coromoa, in my opinion. I think I actually think in certain systems he's better than Micah Parsons. But I think Zaven Collins in a 3-4 scheme – is significantly better than Coromoa in that specific style of play.
Yeah, you're right though, James. You are right. I mean, you look at someone like Devin White, and you want to compare somebody to Devin White. I think Coromoa is the guy, and it depends. It's all about your systems, right? It's about systems. 260 pounds, nearly 6'5". He's perfect for you. You look at J.J. Watt now, Chandler Jones, Simmons, like Aaron just said. It is, you know, the Cardinals have done a good job. It's a good pick. It's a good group of linebackers. The top four, five linebackers are very good players. Jamin Davis as well is another one. There's four really good linebackers here, like starting day one.
But I'll tell you, the NFC West is going to be a really interesting division to watch, just like it was last year, but this year even more so. I don't think there is a weak team in the NFC West.
Entertaining football. I love it, James. Yeah, it's a good division, especially with Matthew Stafford there now as well. Should be interesting.
So Brian, what do you think about Zaven Collins? Or Ryan, for that matter.
Yes. What?
Okay, you're still there. Okay.
Yeah, I think the draft is... been interesting where the next team goes is hard to predict. I think there's a lot of good players still out there. And I think right now the question is, does somebody want to move up into the first round to go get Kyle Trask?
See, I'm not even sure that Kyle Trask is the next quarterback taken. Not to make this strictly about quarterbacks. We just saw a linebacker come off the board, but I could easily see like Davis Mills of Stanford being the next best quarterback. But I easily admit that it could be entirely possible that we do not see another quarterback come off the board till round three. Like, I like Davis Mills better, I like Kellen Mond better, and then I like Trask after that. And then I think after those three, they're probably the last draftable quarterbacks, in my opinion. Maybe Jamie Newman from Georgia or something like that. But as quarterback prospects, those are probably the last three that are going to be drafted until like the sixth, seventh round. But me, I'm a Davis Mills guy personally.
Yeah. You can make a case for it, James. I think they're all worth taking a risk on too, bro. You know, if a coach thinks that quarterback is that good, then, you know, take a risk. If your roster, if your roster allows it, you know, or unless you really like another player, I just think you've got to build now. But quarterback position is so valuable. It's worth it. If a GM thinks it and a coach thinks it, just go for it. That's what I say. Anyways, the risk reward factor is just too valuable. If he's a hit, then you've got to try.
All right, boys, the Raiders pick is in. Raiders obviously could be looking at offensive tackle. They could be looking at D tackle. I think safety is another spot they could be looking at. Could be looking at
linebacker too.
Absolutely, yeah, linebacker as well. It could be looking at Darisaw. It could be looking at Elijah Bar Tucker. A couple of names that are
Tucker's already gone. He went to the Jets.
Right. We could be talking about, Darisaw. A name that we've talked about a couple times. We could be talking about a safety that we haven't really brought up yet, but we did talk about the other day, Trevin Moehrig from TCU. This could be an interesting spot for him. And here's a name that I wouldn't sleep on, Christian Barmore. I think he's clearly better than any other defensive tackle in this class. And where there is a need, even though it may not be the biggest need, this might be a sneaky good spot for him as well.
I think that'd be my pick, Bri. I think that would be my pick. They just got rid of Hurst.
There's also Aziz Ojulari and Quiddy Pay that are both also still there as guys that could be decent edge rushers in that 4-3 scheme.
Guys, so, let me ask you a question. Do you think this is Mike Mayock last year as GM? If they don't get it done,
no.
And what do you think
I think both of them have a couple more years left. They gave John Gruden a contract, a huge contract to make it work. Yeah, I think I forget exactly how long the initial one was, but. They're not even halfway through it now, so they're not going to pay him for that long.
Alex Leatherwood, offensive tackle.
Alex Leatherwood.
I like that pick. Leatherwood.
Alabama.
Wow. That's a reach, in my opinion. That's a reach.
That's a reach. I agree.
Yeah,
that's a reach. He's not even like the third best offensive lineman currently available, in my opinion. Like Tevin Jenkins is still there, somebody who I like a lot. We haven't mentioned it quite a bit. Christian Darisaw is still there, who I think is significantly better than Leatherwood, especially if you're planning on him being an offensive tackle.
The biggest problem with Leatherwood is, I think if you're talking about coming in day one and being a starter, and it's just my opinion, I think he's the most technically sound right now, but of the guys you just mentioned, and obviously we could mention more, he has a significantly lower ceiling. I don't think he's as athletic as a Darisaw, a Jenkins, or Elijah Barrett Tucker, or Sewell, or any of these other guys that have also won in the first round. So to me, what this says is the Raiders needed a day one starter, and they needed a guy to step in right away and help protect Carr.
But I don't understand. Yeah. What I don't understand is why, though. This is not a team that's competing for the playoffs right now. They're not. I mean, they're not in any position to say, hey, we're a playoff caliber team. They're probably the third best team in their division. It'll be the fourth best team in their division, assuming that the rumors are true about what's going on in Denver. And they're definitely not better than two teams in the AFC East or two teams in the AFC South or two teams in the AFC North. So
three teams in AFC North. I mean, Cleveland is not no slouch. Baltimore don't slouch in Pittsburgh. You know, so nothing. Three teams in AFC North can be done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We said the same thing. We said the same thing about Cleveland before last year. We said the same thing about San Francisco before 2 years ago. Every year, teams turn it on and other teams fall out. We've been talking about
Cleveland getting better and better and better every year. We're like, oh, okay, well, it didn't happen last year, but I see it coming. But we haven't been saying that about the Las Vegas Raiders. This is not a team where we're constantly saying, hey, this team's on the precipice of doing something. This is more of, hey, it's more of the same. They're in a really hard division that they can't bust the ceiling onto.
I'm
really surprised you turned your back on your team, James.
I don't have a team right now. I'm a football free agent currently.
Here's an interesting.
You sure
thing.
You could get a Jared Goff jersey?
I could get a Jared Goff jersey. I won't, but I could. The pick is in for Miami. So right now, I'll just go through my top guys available. My top guys available are Koromoa from Notre Dame, the linebacker, Azeez Ojulari from Georgia, Christian Darrisaw, the offensive tackle from Virginia Tech, Greg Newsom, the corner from Northwestern, Quiddy Pay, the edge rusher from Michigan. Those are kind of like my top five guys available currently. And if the medical check out,
all right,
boys,
the Miami
then,
Dolphins pick is in.
Okay.
Miami Dolphins select Jalen Phillips, defensive end.
Jalen Phillips. I like that.
Jalen
I like
Phillips.
That. He stays home. He stays home.
Yeah, I like Jalen Phillips to Miami. Like this, he wasn't my top edge rusher available, but I think when we're talking about scheme fit, his athleticism all come into play for the Miami Dolphins. The question really becomes, how far does Greg Rousseau fall after his, let's just call it subpar pro day? But no, Jalen Phillips, from an athleticism standpoint, is off the charts. So if they can, I don't think he's as pro ready as some of the other defensive ends in this class, but I do believe that if they do turn him into that, or if they do get him into a more of a pro style, then he'll just jump right off the page and become a Pro Bowler eventually.
Right. Did you get enough feet?
But serious, Jalen Phillips, what are your thoughts?
You know, this is a guy, honestly, in my opinion, that I think fell to a great situation in Miami. You know, it's always really good if you're able to kind of stay around when you play, you know, your college ball was familiar. He has family out there. I think he's a decent edge rusher out of the University of Miami who has a mean streak and has the ability to get to the quarterback. I do think he needs to put on a little bit of weight, getting the weight room a little bit. But at the end of the day, I think him staying right there in Miami is a great pick for the Miami Dolphins there.
Rodri, what is your thoughts on Jalen Phillips finding his way to Miami?
Yeah, interesting that the first defensive end went at 18, you know, it says everything about the class, I think, boys. But like Quiddy Pay, I thought was just a little bit in front of him, you know. To be honest, though, it's those two. Brian called it in our previous show, Jalen Phillips, and this is what's happened. It's like, again, system, great for the system. And worth the risk. I mean, you got two first-round picks. You took Jalen Waddle. You got your kick return and skill position. Let's take another risk on you know, possibly a good defensive end. They need, you know, they lost Calvanoi to back to New England. So they got a guy to come in now and take that edge. Let's see that edge, and let's see if he can do it.
So the Washington Washington football team is on the clock right now. They are another team that is heavily in need of a quarterback. I'm kind of surprised that they didn't move up for Justin Fields. They didn't move up for Mac Jones. They have Ryan Fitzpatrick kind of like there.
I think
sitting there,
I think
kind
they
of
sold
being,
Do you really trust Ryan?
Ryan's Fitzmagic is probably one of the most exciting quarterbacks in the NFL, but it's exciting for a very good reason and a very bad reason at the same time.
Right.
But are they going to reach for one of those second-round guys? Like, that's the question. And I don't know. Like, they have Taylor Heinicke from last year's draft, who was a second or a third-round guy. So is there a guy currently on the board that's better than Tyler Heinicke?
I could argue Kyle Trask is better.
You've been arguing
Kyle Trask since you got on the show tonight, man. He's a Kyle Trask fan.
Washington,
he's a fartigated.
I know everybody wants to mock Washington a quarterback, but I really like what they've started to do on defense. You look at that defense. You got Sweat. You've got the dynamic duo there in Young as far as the pass rushers. I wouldn't mind seeing them take a corner here. Remember, they did get rid of Norman. Caleb Farley, to me, is the best corner in this draft. I understand there's some back issues, but depending on how he's feeling or how they feel about him or Newsom, or there is still a ton of really, really talented outside linebackers / inside linebackers that could definitely help this team. I feel pretty decent about their offense outside of the obvious question mark at quarterback. I would continue to build this defense because, as the old cliche goes, defense wins championships.
So the football team did sign William Jackson and Daryl Roberts in the offseason, so I think that they at least feel, as of right now, that they're probably fine at cornerback. I'm not saying they couldn't improve with Caleb Farley, but I could easily see one of the linebackers, but there's kind of been a run of those lately. I'm not sure if besides Koromoa, which I don't like him in the 3-4. That's kind of like my whole thing about him is that in a 4-3, he's going to be fantastic. But
Washington Redskins select Jamin Davis, linebacker, Kentucky.
Like Jamin Davis.
I like that. I like
it's
that.
A better fit. It's a better fit. There has been talk of Jamin Davis going in the first round. Go ahead.
He was definitely, but Jack Del Rio, you know, like the Rich Get Richer, we're just saying how good their defense was. I wouldn't have thought they would have drafted another defender. They are a really good defense. Rivera, former linebacker. Yes, this guy.
I love this kid. You know, we did this show the other day, James. You know, I had this kid as one of my top three linebackers ahead of Koromoa, a guy that you really like, ahead of Bolton. I think this kid is a heat-seeking missile, man. He's great. Like, if you look at the way they used him, they used him at linebacker. They used him at defensive end on third downs because he's just a guy that gets after it. And his sideline, his range, if you look at his speed, look at some of these highlights, like linebackers don't drop back, right, to the center third, 30 yards down the field, pick off a pass and run it all the way back like that. Like he's just a very, very athletic linebacker. And you know, like we've talked about, you can't teach instincts. You also can't teach athleticism. So I love this pick for Washington, like I said, I continue to build the defense, and I think this is a slam dunk pick.
Great pick. Yeah, I completely agree. Great pick. And, you know, what a job Ron Rivera's done. And just doing it after going through what he's been through with his cancer treatment and stuff. And then the Alex Smith story. So it's a good team to go and play for now. I mean, I know they haven't got a name at the moment, but, you know, things are getting better there. What a job he's done. He took a really bad situation there, turned the franchise around pretty much with the decisions he was making, bringing in Jack Del Rio, bringing in a lot of the guys he's brought in, some good character defenders, some good characters, you know, Alex Smith being one of them.
If the football team can develop a develop either of these quarterbacks, either Fitzmagic or Henneke, to a top 15 guy, like a Teddy Bridgewater level guy, and I say that kind of tongue in cheek, but like they are a team that could potentially go deep in the playoffs. If they can get top 15 sure. quarterback play from one of their guys, because this defense is probably one of the top in the league right now.
They're in
NFC East, which is terrible across the board.
I think if you're going to get one of those guys to play at that level, it's going to be Heineke.
Well, here's the other thing to consider, boys. Philadelphia Eagles has Jalen Hurts. The New York Giants has Daniel Jones, right? The Cowboys have Prescott coming back off a leg injury. There's an argument to be made that Fitzpatrick's the best quarterback in that division.
Well, I wouldn't. I mean,
he turns into.
It depends on what Dak looks like after the injury. Sure,
listen,
but.
I'm the first person, and you guys have all heard me say this. I'd be the first person to tell you, Ryan, that is absolutely true. But you know what? He never seemed to turn into that pumpkin last year, and they just pulled the rug from out under him, and they literally had to give it back to him because the team wanted him to play, not Tua. So I'm just saying, he looked like a different guy last year. I know super small sample size. We all know what he can do and what his limitations are. But I'm just telling you, with that defense and Fitzmagic back there, I wouldn't be shocked at all if Washington made the playoffs.
But is that an outlier season, or is he bucking the trend?
Every year, Fitzmagic has a 3 or 4 game stretch where he's the best quarterback in the league, and then he has a 3 or 4 game stretch where he's the worst quarterback in the league. What I'm saying is, don't be the best or the worst quarterback in the league. Just be a middle-of-the-pack quarterback, and this team's a playoff team. So he's getting older. He's maturing. He never made those major mistakes last year. And in my opinion, and this is something we talked about on the show with Sirius, he can tell you, I said, and I'll continue to say, hey, if they don't pull him out, Miami's a playoff team last year. Literally, they cost themselves a shot at the playoffs by trying to tinker with the offense and tinker with the quarterback situation. And it wasn't just a matter of how Tua performed. Literally, the team revolted when Fitzpatrick was removed. So it tells you how much people around the league respect him as a player. I think that those young dudes are going to ingratiate to him. They're going to realize that he is going to give them a chance to win. Let's not forget that they've had Dwayne Haskins, Alex Smith. Think about the quarterbacks that they've had over the last 3 or 4 years. Yes, they're all okay, but okay is not going to win in the NFL. I think they have a very good chance of making the playoffs this year unless, you know, Dak does something miraculous.
Yeah, it's that experience, Brian, game management as well, you just mentioned. That's what they know. They got a defense. They need 20 points. Get us 20 points, and then, you know, the defense can close it out. A good runner, a good thumper at running back as well, like they can do it now, and a couple more pieces on offense. And look, Ryan Fitzpatrick, fans are gonna love him. Fans are gonna love him if he starts winning. He doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't make a lot of them. He's a smart, intelligent kid, and yeah.
The pick is in for the Giants. I'm eager to see what this pick is, boys. They traded down, and you know what? I kind of feel like, I know we've talked about O-line quite a bit here. I wouldn't be shocked if this is a pass rusher also. I know that all the Giants fans want to protect Daniel Jones. They want that interior offensive lineman. But there's a few pass rushers on the board that still could be a quote-unquote difference maker. So we'll see. The pick is in. I will announce it as soon as it comes up.
Yeah, I don't mind. I put Dickerson at center, maybe. I do like the pass.
The New York Giants select wide receiver Kadarius Toney, Florida.
Wow, that's really I kind of crossed off wide receiver as a need for the New York Giants right now.
Let Ryan
have this one.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think they're too high for Tony. They do need that wide receiver, and here's why. Galladay gets hurt a whole lot based on his own record. And we have a guy who is one concussion away from out of the NFL. So the wide receiver is definitely need, because now you're real dangerous. If Danny Dimes starts throwing dimes, ooh, you put the whole NFC on blast.
Yeah.
So I mean, I don't know. Like, so what? The big problem with Daniel Jones, I refuse to call him Danny Dimes, because is his ball security. If he's actually a decent quarterback if he can hold on to the football. But when he gets sacked, the strip sack fumble has been a big problem since he's been drafted. What does Kadarius Toney bring to this situation? It's just another target. They've placed themselves in a position for Daniel Jones to have an open target. And the offensive line is not that bad right now, to be completely fair and honest. But that leaves a big question mark for the Indianapolis Colts, who have just gone on the clock. I think they were expecting Kadarius Toney to be available at this pick. This would be a really good landing spot for Coromoa as well. I don't think that's where they go necessarily, but I think Indy could be a place where he would do just fine. But looking at where they have been, like I really think defensive end Quiddy Pay is still available. I know that's what we had going to them in our mock draft, and having him still available is it makes a lot of sense. Justin Houston has left. So, needing a defensive end, they also need a left tackle. So, Christian Darrisaw is still available, too, who I kind of forgot all about.
That would make sense.
So that's, for me, that's where I'm looking as far as the Indianapolis Colts' next pick.
What about this other left field? What about a Pat Freiermuth? What about a tight end like Freiermuth?
I think there's only one tight end in this draft, to be completely honest with you. Like,
there's
a kid from Penn State who's all right, but I don't have him as a first-round player.
Yeah, no,
that's Pat Freiermuth from Penn State. He's just not there for me. I would rather have them take Samuel Kosteme from Texas, or if Tevin Jenkins from Oklahoma State. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
All of those complete sense. Every one of those makes sense to me.
I personally think the Colts probably go offensive line here, but because when you build, you got to build to beat your division, right? So I could see a pass rusher as well, because there is still some talent there along the defensive line, especially edge rushers, depending on, you know, what their flavor is, if you will. We've talked about it, how, you know, with the edge rushers, there's no two guys that are exactly alike. But I think, you know, if you're talking about an offensive tackle, I think most people would probably agree that they probably weren't expecting Darrisaw to be here at 21, or even Jenkins, depending on how they value them. You know, value-wise, I could definitely see an offensive tackle being the pick. They still trying to mask that left tackle when Costanzo left. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. They like to run the ball. Phillip Rivers is now gone, so they're going to have to solidify that offensive line. I think that's going to be the pick.
And I agree with you. I think offensive line is the pick here, to be honest with you, because the values, they're going to be there at defensive end just by looking at how these defensive ends fell. Aziz Ojulari is still on the board. Kwity Paye is still on the board. Jason Owe is on the board. Joe Tryon is on the board. Greg Rousseau is on the board.
Are they going to pick a starter? Yeah, I don't think any of those can come in and start right now. You need rotation as well. What about Barmo?
Yes.
What about Christian Barmo?
So for me, I think I mean if it were me, I would be taking Chris Tereshaw or Aziz Ojulari. Because I think he's a lot better than his current draft position, too.
I do want to just mention something real quick about the New York Giants pick and Tony, because it did – I'm not going to lie to you, it did catch me a little off guard. And I know Ryan's kind of explained it a little bit, but just doing a little bit more research right now, guys, and kind of looking at information. He really is a Swiss Army knife. He lined up at running back. He lined up at tight end. He lined up at slot. He's lined up out wide. He was a kick returner, a punt returner, a gunner. So, I mean, this guy is definitely a jack of all trades. And the yak yards on this guy, he is a top five guy in the entire class in yards after contact. And that's running backs and wide receivers included. So that's definitely something I didn't really give him credit for before. So, a guy that is less than 200 pounds, 199 pounds, 5'11", he is definitely a guy that can help Daniel Jones out, catch the quick passes, and really create after the catch, which is something New York can definitely use.
Yeah.
Yeah, getting the ball out of Jones' hand faster is definitely going to be a benefit.
I think that's Saquon Barkley back as well. With Saquon Barkley in our backfield, the Giants are looking good.
The Giants have to keep Saquon Barkley healthy. That's one of the biggest things that's happened
guys,
the past couple
not
years.
Not to change paths on you guys, but I do want to real quickly, because, I mean, let's be honest, the quarterbacks are what dominate the draft talk, and we really didn't talk much about the Mac Jones. So the Colts did select Kwity Paye, defensive end from Michigan, here at number 21, and we'll talk about this in a sec. But I did want to ask you guys, I don't know if there is a backup and a starter with a larger differential in skill set between Cam Newton and Mac Jones. Do you tailor the offense for Mac Jones and play him right away? Do you leave this as Cam's offense and try to teach Mac Jones the principles? Like, how do you see that? How do you guys see that playing out?
So the way I see it is that this is something that's going to be sussed out in training camp. They're going to give Daniel – or not Jesus. I'm still thinking about Giants. They're going to give Mac Jones a playbook, and that playbook is going to focus on the things he does well. And then they're going to give Cam Newton probably the expanded playbook but focus on things that he does well. And then they're going to go at it. They're going to probably split first team reps until preseason actually starts. And probably by third week of preseason, we'll know who's the guy. But I don't think they're going to go in with an expectation that Daniel Jones is – they're not going to hand Daniel Jones the starting position. They're going to have them fight it out during preseason and training camp. But the offense is going to look very different if Mac Jones is the starter versus if Cam Newton's the starter.
Yeah. Go on, Ray. William.
Go ahead, Ryan.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize they were talking to you.
No, no, they're talking to you.
Okay. I think you definitely let them fight it out, see who's the better quarterback, because you only got Cam on a one-year deal again. So you might as well let them fight it out and see if he can beat them out. If he can beat them out, then you go with him. If he can't, then you let Cam start.
Yeah, all I think of that is we're going to have to see a better Cam Newton than we did last year. I think Cam will get a start, but he ain't going to have a long leash on him because he needs to pick this game up. I don't think they're happy with him. They need a better Cam Newton, a better version of Cam Newton. If we don't see it, then they could make that switch within the first 5 weeks. But that defense is going to be good. New England's going to be a lot better this year. I'm excited.
Just to expand on this just a little bit, they did draft the most – well, not the most pro-ready, but I would say like the if we were going just based off of pro-ready, the guys who are going to be ready day one, Patriots probably got the third best quarterback day one off the – off the snide, you know. So
yeah,
if we're thinking about what they want to have happen, they want Mac Jones to start day one. That's why they signed Cam Newton to a 1 year contract. It's because they didn't want to be saddled with him long term. And also, Stidham also is a lot more similar to Mac Jones than Cam Newton, anyway.
Yeah, no, you're right. There was two quarterbacks, and then there was three that was pretty close. And if Mac Jones goes to the Niners at three, I don't think any of us are shocked. You know what I mean? It could have happened. I think we picked it the other day. That's what it was. I mean, he's very accurate. Josh McDaniels is going to love that. Cam Newton's got pressure on him. Cam Newton's got to perform. But I think he'd get a chance.
Right now, Tennessee's on. What's that? We have approximately. I can't even read it. We got 1 minute left, so we won't have enough time to hit the Tennessee Titans pick. So what we'll do is we'll go quick run around, final shout outs, and. We may or may not pick this up tomorrow. Rodri, go ahead and give us a final shout out as we close it up.
Guys, great spending this drive for the boys. Always a pleasure. Enjoyed your company. Enjoyed listening to you even more. Take care yourself, right? Speak soon.
All right, Brian, any last words or shout outs as we close her up?
Hey, man, I just want to say it was such a pleasure joining you gentlemen tonight and talking NFL. I really feel like there was really only one pick that's been made so far that I was kind of shocked with, as far as a pick that I didn't think would be in the top, in the first round, top 32. It just goes to show the kind of research and dedication the Sports City Chefs have, and everything has been going fairly close to status quo. So, It's always a pleasure talking with you guys, and I'm out. I'll talk to you guys later.
All right, Ryan, final shout-outs before we close down the shop for today.
I want to thank you guys for letting me join you guys. I just want to say this draft has been an exciting draft, and I hope to talk to you guys soon.
All right, guys, for me There hasn't been any pick thus far where I looked at it and I said, there's no way this guy should have been this guy. Every year you see one that's like, hey, this guy's a fourth round pick. What on earth is going on? But we haven't gotten that thus far. I mean, there are another 10 picks left. But with that said, we have run out of time. Blog Talk Radio is going to cut us off any second now. So, Till next time, talk to you guys later. Peace.